The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Networks.
Good morning. No carnival. Operators hope the government will reconsider that decision, though. Incentives to get vaccinated. Some $100,000 being offered. And it's Human Rights Day. We are discussing this on this, the final day of 16 days of activism to end gender-based violence. It's all straight ahead this morning. I'm Dwight Strawn, and this is Morning Blend.
Wake up, it's a new day. Wake up, it's a new day. It's the start of a new way. It's the start of the end of the old way. Wake up, it's a new day. 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 Wake up, wake up.
Good morning again, Bahamas. It is Friday, December 10th, 2021. This is Morning Blend on Guardian Radio 96.9. Again, I'm Dwight Strawn. In a moment, Stephen Hanna will be joining us. Also this morning, we're talking with RBC. It's another one of their Fantastic Friday events that they have. And they're going to tell us about it, the holiday specials for automobiles. Auto loans, they're going to talk about that this morning. And then later in Morning Blend Business, we've been talking about it, and we're going to get more information about the equity offer with Nassau Cruise Port. All the details this morning. But first, it's time for the overnight, the latest breaking news from while we're sleeping, and the top national and international headlines this morning. In the overnight, the Ministry of Health and Wellness has rejected a request to allow the holiday carnival to operate as a result of the ongoing COVID-19 pandemic. That's according to Office of the Prime Minister Press Secretary Clint Watson, who made that announcement yesterday, adding that, quote, the risk outweighs any benefit envisioned. The announcement coming one day before the carnival was set to start operations and followed days of confusion over whether permission had been granted. The advisory committee, according to Watson, had been in meetings since the start of the pandemic to assess situations like this and give approval for events and has met and identified several reasons why the event should not be approved. He said the basis of the science has not changed and social distancing is a key tool in mitigating the spread of the virus. Operators of the carnival had already set up and many of the rides and equipment for the events at Fort Charlotte are up. The Holiday Carnival did not take place last year due to the pandemic. When reporters visited the site yesterday, the manager, Joseph Alberts, and coordinator of Midways by McCafferty Enterprises, said the company will talk to other people in the political platform, his words, since its request was denied. After a third wave of COVID-19 infections and hospitalizations forced Princess Margaret Hospital to put a number of services on hold, the Public Hospitals Authority announcing that the hospital is undergoing a phased return to normal services. The announcement coming during a weeks-long decline in the case and hospitalization numbers, offering a reprieve for the previously overwhelmed facility. And individuals who get their first doses of the COVID-19 vaccine between Monday and December 31st will be eligible to win $25,000. The announcement being made yesterday by Ed Fields, member of the National COVID-19 Vaccine Consultative Committee. He said that they're partnering with the Fox Foundation, who's given a donation of $100,000. Fields says for first doses, and this is for first doses only, he says those folks will be incentivized over the next 3 weeks and that they will be issuing $5,500 prizes a week. And then at the end of the period, there's going to be a grand prize for those who are in that pool between the 13th and the 31st. Someone is going to win $25,000. Minister of Agriculture Clay Sweeting says that the government hopes to bring legislation to establish a cannabis industry within the next year or so. Says they're working along with the Attorney General's office in this regard, and that they're reviewing the previously proposed legislation to see how they can adapt it to, quote, make sure it's inclusive of all Bahamians, not just a select few. The Minnis administration drafted a medicinal cannabis bill that would establish an authority to lay out the framework for medical marijuana industry and enable the licensed cultivation, importation, exportation, processing, transportation, and research of medical cannabis. The administration also drafted an amendment to the Dangerous Drugs Act, which would decriminalize possession of up to 2 ounces of marijuana. Overseas, breaking news, a British appellate court opening the door today for Julian Assange to be extradited to the United States by overturning a lower court ruling that found the WikiLeaks founder's mental health was too fragile to withstand the American criminal justice system. The High Court in London ruled that U.S. assurances were enough to guarantee Assange would be treated humanely and directed a lower court judge to send the extradition request to the Home Secretary for review. The Home Secretary, who oversees law enforcement in the UK, will make the final decision on whether to extradite Assange. Assange's fiancée, Stella Morris, called the decision a, quote, grave miscarriage of justice and said lawyers would file an appeal at the earliest possible moment. And from Mexico, rescue workers rushing to a highway accident found a horrific scene of death and injury after a freight truck jammed with as many as 200 migrants tipped over and crashed into the base of a steel pedestrian bridge in the southern part of the country. The migrants inside the cargo trailer were tossed and crushed in a pile of both the living and the dead. By late Thursday, the death toll stood at 53, and authorities said at least 54 people had been injured. Was one of the worst single-day death tolls for migrants in Mexico since the 2010 massacre of 72 migrants led by the Zetas drug cartel in the northern state of the country. Volunteer rescuers hauled bodies off the pile by their arms and legs while some migrants scrambled to extract themselves from the twisted steel sheets of the collapsed container. While the Mexican government is trying to appease the United States by stopping caravans of walking migrants and allowing the reinstatement of the Remain in Mexico policy, it hasn't been able to stop the flood of migrants stuffed hundreds at a time into freight trucks operated by smugglers who charge thousands of dollars to take them to the U.S. border, trips that all too often lead them only to their deaths. In sports from the NFL, Thursday night football action, the Vikings. The Minnesota Vikings beating the Pittsburgh Steelers 36-28. That's sports, and that's the overnight. Time for your first look at weather. In your weather for today, we've got high pressure ridging that continues to build over the islands. Beachgoers in the southeast Bahamas should exercise caution along east coast beaches due to rip currents. For all areas, well, actually for the northwest and central Bahamas today, we're looking at mostly sunny and warm conditions, a bit breezy as well, especially in the central Bahamas, with a chance of a few light stray showers becoming fair and mild tonight. Winds easterly at 10 to 15 knots, seas 2 to 4 feet. For the southeast Bahamas, partly sunny and warm, breezy with isolated showers, becoming mostly fair and warm tonight. Small craft caution remains in effect. Winds easterly at 15 to 20 knots, seas 4 to 6 feet. Temperatures today expected to get up to the mid-80s, about 84 Fahrenheit, 29 Celsius. Overnight lows tonight getting down to about 68 Fahrenheit, 20 Celsius. That's your first look at weather this morning. We'll have your extended outlook coming up after traffic in just a bit. You're listening to Morning Blend. When we come back, we're discussing the day's top stories right here on your home for fresh news and smart talk all day. Guardian Radio 96.9.
RBC has been growing with the Bahamas for over 110 years. We are committed to deepening our relationship with existing clients and forging new ones in the future. With investments in youth, education, and environmental initiatives, we're dedicated to helping you and our communities grow.
We're here to help you flourish. We're RBC.
RBC Royal Bank.
Screws and Fasteners World, Balfour Avenue and Palm Beach Street, has those hard-to-find fasteners for you right now. You can find stainless steel regular hex, carriage bolts, galvanized bolts, threaded rods, nails, self-tap screws, sex bolts, anchor bolts, turnbuckles, masonry tools, hand tools, and weed whacker strings. Check out the rope selection and car body fasteners, too. Special orders are welcome. It's your number one fastener store. Screws and Fasteners World, Balfour Avenue and Palm Beach Streets. Call 326-1976.
You can win. You can win. Everybody can win with Esso this Christmas.
Win with Esso every week in the Philip and Win this Christmas promotion. Simply spend $25 or more in fuel, write your name, email, and telephone number on the back of your receipt and drop it in the entry box provided for your chance to win loads of weekly prizes. Promotion ends December 22nd, 2021. Terms and conditions apply. Visit bettergasmileage.com/Philip and Win for more details. The Esso brand is a trademark of ExxonMobil Corporation and is used under license.
Food security is a challenge for many. Now in a pandemic, many more are unsure of their next meal. Through their Feed 5000 program and a $20,000 donation, AML is working to ensure that everyone has a meal for the holidays, and they're inviting you to help. Now until December 17th, visit any Solomon's, Costrite, Fresh Market, or Domino's in Nassau or Freeport, and Exuma Markets in Georgetown to donate and help feed a family in need this Christmas. No amount is too small. Remember, we're all in this together.
You've heard about the 12 days of Christmas, but this year, Rem is giving you even more Christmas with 31 days of giveaways. Simply sign up or upgrade to Trio or pay your Rev bill in full. Then listen to yours truly, the Natural Empress, and Free Your Mind every weekday to find out if you've won prizes like 55-inch smart TVs and up to $20,000 in cold hard cash. Call 601-8992 today. Rev, you and us together.
Are you on the move? Busy running errands? Do you have so much to do that you don't have a lot of time on your hands? Have you gotten your COVID-19 vaccine yet? Well, if you haven't, the Johnson & Johnson vaccine may be the one for you. It's one and done and fully vaccinated for now. Yes, you only need one jab of the Johnson & Johnson vaccine and you're done. Lower your risk of severe illness and death from COVID-19 by getting vaccinated. This message has been brought to you by the Ministry of Health and this radio station.
Technology makes every day in life just a little bit easier. Whether it's for joy, productivity, or creativity, Custom Computers has all the latest gadgets to conquer any obstacle. Imagine automating mundane tasks with tech and living a freer, richer lifestyle, all while staying on top of your goals. The path to freedom could fit in the palm of your hand. Discover tomorrow's technology today at Custom Computers on Patton Street, Cable Beach, and Caves Village through the Blake Road entrance.
What does Christmas mean to you? What about the joy and satisfaction you get in starting the home projects you've wanted to do all year? CIBC First Caribbean helps you make your Christmas wishes come true with easy and flexible financing on personal loans. Apply online and smile all the way this holiday season. Visit CIBCFCIB.com for more information. Terms and conditions apply.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Wake up, it's a new day. Wake up, it's a new day. It's the start of the a new way. It's the start of the end of the old way. Wake up, it's a new day. Wake up, it's a new day.
Welcome back to Morning Blend here on Guardian Radio 96.9. We are streaming live on GuardianTalkRadio.com and on the Guardian Radio app for smart devices. We're also on your televisions on Cable Bahamas Channel 969 and BTC Flow Channel 612. Once again, I'm Dwight Strawn. Joining me now, we have Stephen Hanna. Stephen Hanna, good morning.
Morning. What's up?
Hope you're doing well.
Holding on.
Okay.
To God's unchanging hand.
Well, that's beautiful. That's beautiful. Good to hear. Lots to talk about this morning, and you can join the conversation, folks, on Twitter, at MorningBlend969. Tweet us, follow us, and find out more about what you hear on the show on Twitter or on Facebook, facebook.com/MorningBlend969. You can also text us on 422-4796. That's the Guardian Radio text line powered by BTC, 422-4796, standard text rate supply. Coming up this morning, more weather and traffic. And coming up in a few minutes, we're going to be talking about Human Rights Day, which is today. And this is the final day of the 16 days of activism to end gender-based violence. Later in our 8 o'clock hour, we're going to be talking with RBC, one of their Feature Friday events, a special holiday Feature Friday. They've got a lot of great deals for vehicles, if you are looking at...
Are they the persons with the cars at every Super Value?
I think they're working with the dealerships, so it could be. It could be, but we'll find out. We'll find out more about that today. But they definitely have something special for today. And, if you're one of those fortunate enough to be able to put a car under the Christmas tree for somebody or for yourself, and it's, well, that's beautiful. So today, you might
go. It sounds like you also own a forest. If you have a tree big enough to put a car underneath it.
Well, maybe.
Or maybe a small park.
Okay. Or a little tree on top of the car. I don't know. But, and then in our 9 o'clock hour, Morning Blend Business, we're going to get all the details that you need to know if you are thinking about investing in the Nassau Cruise Port and everything you want to know. We seek to get the answers this morning. All right. So that's coming up there. But right now, let's get into what's in the news. And in the news, I know what you want to talk about, the big headline, no carnival. We'll get to that in a second. Just a couple of things we want to mention really quickly. So apparently, if you hadn't been licensing your vehicles as a result of the pandemic and you'd be given that reprieve, you got to do it now. Monday, you will start getting tickets and fines for that. So this is probably your last day for that.
Take that 3-hour lunch.
Well, hey. And you know, they've simplified the process. I don't know if that's going to work today because you can do it all online and there are cashless centers as well. And, again, I don't know how that's going to work. I'm sure the appointments are made up, booked up for today, but today is your last day unless they open up some offices on the weekend.
Maybe they might extend their hours. Maybe the comptroller will come down and say, hey guys, I just need one more hour out of you.
I think this is the controller for them. But sure.
Oh, yeah. Well,
but yeah, or maybe they'll be nice and open up on Saturday. Who knows? But this is it. So Monday, keep that in mind. Okay. And then incentives to get vaccinated. The Fox Foundation and the National COVID-19 Vaccine Consultative Committee teaming up. The Fox Foundation has donated $100,000, and we're told that for people getting first doses only, beginning Monday, you will be incentivized. So $500 prizes a week are going to be given out. And at the end of that period, December 31st.
Right. At the end of 3 weeks. $25,000.
$25,000 will be won by some lucky person. And, so this is going to be interesting. We'll see if that's all it would take to get some people to do it. But okay.
I mean, the question is whether or not all the people who take gambles already got the vaccine. Right. If there aren't anybody, like, everybody who would be like, oh, I can't wait to win a giant lump sum of money. What if they already got their vaccine? Oh, well. But I hope this will encourage some people. It's not for boosters, Dwight.
No. I mean, I don't think they'll have to incentivize people to get the boosters. Do you think so?
I truly.
Oh no, I'm just saying it's not for boosters.
I know. So. People were saying that they were hoping that people, but I don't think that's going.
No, that doesn't make any sense.
No. All right. So hey, well there you go. If that's all it took or takes, this is your time. This is your time.
We're saying that from the beginning, though. That was the first thing. We just didn't think that the government had money to pay people to do it.
Mm-hmm. Well, people say the private sector could maybe assist, and well, here we go.
And now they have.
Yeah.
Good for them.
So we'll see what comes out of this. All right. This is interesting here. Somebody asked Clint Watson at the press briefing yesterday whether the government is interested in transitioning to a republic.
And they also asked about local government.
Mm-hmm. Well, which one?
They asked, I want to say Clay Sweeting about the interest of putting local government in New Providence. No, was it Clay? No, they asked Thingham. Wayne Monroe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, what did he say?
That it's presently something, I have to look back at it.
I mean,
I don't
want
to misquote
in their
him.
Blueprint, so we don't have any type of foolishness from them. That's what they said.
No, I don't want to misquote them, so no, I have to
fine.
Go back and look at it.
That's fine, but they said that they're going to do it. They said
okay.
It. So, you remember what happened to the last people? I just say, I hope they remember what happened to the last people who made promises to the baby people and didn't do any of them. Right? So, you put that in the blueprint. Don't put things in there for fun. You said it. But anyway,
got a full page.
This part here, asked about the transition to a republic. Clint Watson says it's not on the Davis administration's agenda. He said, quote, it is not a conversation we've heard a lot of in recent years, until we saw what happened in Barbados. Well, maybe they weren't listening to certain people, but okay. He goes on to say, quote, it's obviously in the hands of the Bahamian people to decide. It's not on our agenda right now. However, the Bahamian people can change it if they determine this is what they want to do. It'll have to be something that the Bahamian people request and put on the government's agenda. Well, that part we know for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Watson said the process for the Bahamas to transition to a republic would be a little more cumbersome than what Barbados had to go through, really, now. He said the Constitution requires two-thirds of Parliament to agree for it to happen. What's cumbersome about that? And he said the matter would then have to be decided in a national referendum. Well, that part. Hmm.
And there you have it.
Hey, you know, if the education process begins... And, of course, we can't expect the government to do that. All those who are interested and see the benefits would need to be a part of that. But as you mentioned, that's a very serious point. I mean...
At best, Dwight, it'd be... If we started January 1st next year, it would be 3 years out before we could have a referendum that wouldn't automatically fail.
Yeah.
At best.
I'm thinking, you mentioned it, local government for New Providence. Before we even talk about a republic, let's look at that.
That's a 3 year journey as well. Because a lot of people still, you have to get people to grasp the concept. I know it just seems like a republic makes sense or local government makes sense, but for so many people, the only time they've heard that word is in a certain context. Yeah. So you have to get them to first grasp what the concept is, then show them how this could improve their life on an individual level, on a collective level. Then we could get to the discussing how we would implement it.
Yeah.
Cause if we just do Republic, I don't want us to do what Barbados did, cause it just feels like they literally just changed the name of their governor general. That's all they did.
Yeah, we don't want that type. Well, I don't want that type of republic.
Right, because that's just name only.
But with the local government, I don't think it will take that long, actually. I think the things that you hear Bahamians complain about every day, most of those would be better handled by a local government system. If it's out of the hands of the central government, this carnival issue is a prime example. You should never hear the word prime minister and carnival in the same sentence unless he is attending it. This is not something that should come before him. It shouldn't come before him. And this is insane. This is a local government issue. And for it to become this national spectacle is ridiculous.
But didn't health deny them?
Yeah.
And that's fine. It still is the same concept, though. I mean, right? So there was all this confusion about who gave who approvals. And if you decentralize the system and so make it a smaller entity that you're dealing with, as opposed to this giant octopus where the left tentacle on that side doesn't know what the one on that other side is doing. This is when you have situations like this. But, hey, these are the things going on. These are the things going on in the country. And this is, I mentioned it, I think it was yesterday, about this toll road thing that Alfred Sears apparently, I still haven't heard.
Did he say road or did he say infrastructure? Because I didn't hear it. I only saw a quote on one of your colleagues' page, and it said infrastructure. And so,
what is
did
that?
He
toll
say
infrastructure?
He said, like, it's used to keep infrastructure in place.
I mean, you know, sure.
And so, but we might have to do some tolls.
Okay. Whatever. But,
because that could be bridges.
We
one in New Providence.
We have many
bridges inside the country.
Okay, I'm not sure why you bring that up. But sure, I'm saying that this type of issue, again, I'm not sure this is supposed to be on a central level. This is what local governments do, and you raise and you decide on these things. It doesn't have to become something the cabinet talks about. But anyway, we'll try to do more to show the light in the coming year about this. But let's get to the carnival situation that has got everybody's attention. And so the latest word is no carnival. The operators are hoping, though, that the government will reconsider. This comes down to health, and COVID is being used as an excuse for this, even though a number of other events are taking place indoors all over the country. But anyway, take a listen to what happened yesterday in this report from our Kyle Joaquin.
So what would you do now that you cannot offer it? What would you do now? What's the next step?
No, we're going to talk to other people in the political platform, but no comment on anything.
The rides may be set up and in motion, games all prepped, just waiting for someone to play them. But the holiday carnival set up on Fort Charlotte may just have to come down much earlier than expected. With an opening set for tomorrow, it turns out the Ministry of Health did not give the approval, according to Press Secretary in the Office of the Prime Minister, Clint Watson. But the million-dollar question, how was everything able to come in and get set up?
You can come to the country and say, I want to come to try and set up shop, to do something particular. You're not breaking the law by doing that. If you follow the customs requirements and approvals to get a particular facility, you can do that. There is no harm in that. Those agencies are not going to say, where's your health approval? That comes from a whole different sort. So my thing is, at the end of the day, what needed to be sourced first was that health approval before taking everything else. Everything else was done the other way around, and the health was the last thing for them to respond to. And unfortunately, this is what you end up with.
A manager at the carnival was quoted on another news station stating that the approval was granted by the prime minister. However, Watson today emphatically stated that was not the case.
The prime minister has never spoken directly to anybody on this matter. It's nonsense. It's nonsense. We've allowed the Ministry of Health to deal with anything regarding health protocols regarding this. The Prime Minister does not approve carnivals coming into a country. Absolute nonsense.
The Prime Minister never gave any kind of approval.
It's absolute nonsense.
The carnival has been a holiday staple for decades, providing fun for the entire family, except during the pandemic. Moments after the news broke, we drove to the carnival site where the visibly upset carnival manager spoke to us through the fence.
We are still working on his decision, so no comment at this time on anything.
Okay. But they say there's no reversal, so what will the carnival
do? I don't know about that. So
You already said it. Did you get approval from anybody?
I can't say nothing at this time.
Albert said it cost the company a couple of hundreds of thousands of dollars to bring the carnival here, staff, and set it up. When it comes to the assertion that organizers ignored correspondence with health officials, Robert said the ministry never came to look at it.
We invited them to come out and look at it and see how they like, how safe it is. So maybe they will reconsider,
you know. Did they come yet?
No, no one ever came to look at it.
They're saying the carnival never responded to Ministry of Health concerns.
Our Kyle Joaquin with that report there. All right, so
is that how it ends? It ends with a cliffhanger.
Yeah,
it's part two coming up.
That's how it ends. So this is where we are. The operators are certain. I mean, they did a lot of work there with these pictures or something else. And of course, if you drive by, you can see it. To be denied. This is just a real mess of a situation.
Is it? I mean, okay, never mind. You know what? I'm trying to not bring my personal feelings about the carnival into this.
That's good.
But I'm probably going to. I'm not, I don't really care about them. But I do understand that, you know, people, they invest in something, they have a plan, and that for many Bahamians, this is seen as this great and wonderful time to experience stuff. And you know what? Maybe I just hate Christmas. But at the same time, if the, like, it would be a different thing if their argument was, we gave the Ministry of Health what they asked for. But that's not what they're saying. They're saying a prime minister gave them permission.
Mm-hmm.
No, that's it. And the present prime minister is saying, no, no, he didn't.
But we're also hearing a lot of mixed messages here. So they're saying the Ministry of Health officials didn't come down.
And yeah, but then, the Ministry of Health didn't ask to come for a site inspection. They asked them to answer the emails and to fulfill certain things.
Right.
And so my thing is, if I call any ministry in this country, right, as a Bahamian, I know that I got to go to them to get what I want. I would love for passport office to come to me and collect my documents. But I have no passport, Dwight. Mm-hmm. If I wait on that, you know that. I would love for road traffic to come to me while I at work and inspect my car so I don't have to drive down there. But dying how it is work.
Yeah.
Resources do not allow that. So where are we at? Well, I got to get, take a 3-hour lunch break. Go to the driving place, let them inspect the car, give them my insurance, don't get booked on Monday. Yep. That's where we at.
Okay.
The same thing applies to them.
Well, this is the weirdest thing. So is one thing for them to be sitting here with the stuff in boxes, but to go through all this, this doesn't happen in an hour. To go through all this trouble, set this thing up with no approval is mind-boggling.
And they had a lot of confidence that it was going to go through.
Well, this is, if you go by what Clint Watson is saying, this is an invasion. We were invaded by a foreign entity. And that just seems highly unlikely in this scale. I mean, this is some bold stuff. Something is wrong. This story is not making any sense. And,
have you met the carnival? I'm confused. Like, what do you think they come here to do?
I don't understand what you say.
They're selling us $1.50 pizza for $7. Mm-hmm. You really think that they think that they can't get away with stuff?
You're really getting your personal views at this.
I'm just saying.
Let's not do that to the people. But this is crazy, and it seems like it can be resolved relatively simply. Again, people are rightfully pointing out that there are clubs open now. There are indoor events are taking place, basketball tournaments at the major resorts, all kinds of things indoors. But this is outdoors. It can't be that hard. They can control the number of people they can let in.
But
what happened here? What is going on here? Is it pride? Is it just you didn't talk to me, so I'm not letting you in? What is the real issue?
But that's the thing, Dwight. They weren't turned away solely just because it was like, oh, there's going to be 100 people there, so you can't open. They got denied because the Ministry of Health asked them to respond to some emails. And they were like, come do a site inspection. And that's two different things. For all we know, all they had to do was turn over to say everybody who working at the carnival is vaccinated. But they didn't. Like, it could have been something like that. We don't know what it is. But it's not apples for apples. It's not to say, oh, this is the same thing as a concert. Why the concert is allowed to happen, but this isn't allowed to happen. Mm-hmm. Because they didn't do what the ministry asked them to do, according to everything that was said in that report. I feel like it's different issues happening at the same time, And while that might be an argument down the road, if when we talk to the Ministry of Health, the Ministry of Health says, well, we think that this is dangerous, then fine. It's dangerous, but why are these other things happening? Explain that to us. That's the conversation we can have a step and a half from now. We don't even know what the ministry asked them for.
Well, if it's that simple, then this can be resolved relatively easily.
Right? And maybe it will. And maybe next week, Monday, we'll find out that the decision has been reversed because they've complied with what the Ministry of Health asked for. Maybe it will.
Mm-hmm.
But they have to do their due diligence. And they don't get to, as a foreign entity, get to skirt that when I, as a Bahamian, have to take a week off to get my passport.
Well, you know, let's just assume that...
the worst of them?
No.
Yes.
Mouth can say anything. So people are saying things, and it may not be exactly the way it is. That's just, okay. But we'll see. Let's take these calls. Lots of calls coming in. Let's take them.
Both sides have mouths.
You're right. And so who knows?
I know.
Okay, let's get the calls, though. Good morning, caller. You're on the air.
Morning, Dwight.
Doing well. Good morning.
Wonderful. Listen, the Yemen people really can't remember nothing. You know what I mean? Because if they remember, he said a prime minister gave him the okay. It may not have been brave, but if you remember years ago when the carnival used to be to the sports center, one of the prime ministers gave them a 14-year exclusivity to come into the Bahamas every year around Christmas. Now, the reason why, I don't know if it was contractual or if it was verbal. That's the reason why every year around the same time they used to come to the sports center, and they probably figured they could have done the same thing carrying on. Now, that's why Darvel them don't know. But see, I don't know if Darvel them had to speak, because if they all about getting money from aging them to control this virus thing or vaccination thing, the carnival what is gated around is a perfect place for them to incentivize to get the vaccine, because they could say, listen, okay, show your vaccination card at the gate, and those of you who show their negative PCR or whatever the case may be, you can enter the carnival. Because if everybody in there negative or have a vaccination thing, then it shouldn't be no problem. I don't know where that thinking is to go shut that thing down like that. But those people had a 14-year exclusivity period to come here by one of the prime ministers for true. Now, he might can't remember which one it is. But that is what happened years ago. Okay. Thanks for taking my call.
All right. Let's take this call. Good morning, caller. You're on the air.
Yes. How you doing, Dwight?
Hi.
Just let me first address your local government thing. You know, local government is already in New Providence. If you read the law, the only thing the minister has to do is say so, and it happens. But this so-called wonderful thing that happened for local government, if the carnival was here on Grand Bahama, local government still couldn't approve it. And so local government in the Bahamas is extremely local, but no government in it.
You know, because the way we're doing it is wrong.
Right, and that's what I'm saying too. So when we just say local government, we need to form more municipal governance or something of that sort. So the biggest problem we have is that we can't say one thing and mean another. And so again, it requires an education process. We never taught civics, we never taught government or anything in school at any time. And so we see things on television, and then we assume that's how it works by virtue of what we're seeing it. But now let's come to the carnival issue. You need work permit. You need a shipping manifest to come in. You need customs approval. You need a host of things that had to happen. And all of these responsibility lies with government. For the mere fact that you say you need the medical permission. But see, what scares me is that if these people just popped up, entered into the country with a bunch of 40-foot containers of bombs or drugs or smuggling people, it seems as if they must have some device that allows them to metamorphose themselves teleport themselves into the Bahamas. But there has to be a whole lot of people happening, including the police, the Minister of National Security, Minister of Immigration, Minister of Finance. This does not make intellectual fun. Somebody's being dishonest in regards to this.
Yeah.
The mere fact that health may have denied the execution of it, it seems to me that if this group of people did everything, including all the way for the setup, I mean, you have to get away from it, you know, all the way into the setup,
yeah,
something is drastically wrong with governance. We have a greater failure than the carnival. We have a complete catastrophic failure of governance in this country.
Very
and that's awesome. What we need to ask them about. How did such an event got to this point, but no accountability?
On every level, level of failure, absolutely. Let's take this call. We've got a lot of text messages coming in as well. Good morning, caller on there. Caller, good morning.
Hi, good morning, Dwight. How are you?
Doing well.
And good morning to the nation. Right, listen, I am the representative, the Damon representative for the carnival. Okay, and I would like to dispel this myth that people are saying that these people did not go to the proper channel and they had no permission to come here. These people.
Sorry, what's your name?
Had all the necessary documents.
Are you hearing this, caller?
Yes, I am.
Yeah, are you prepared to give your name?
Because you said you're the representative, the official representative.
Okay,
for
you just said it. What's that again?
Yeah, my name is Bradley Kemp.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Go on.
Okay. You can hear me clearly, right?
Yes, yes.
Okay. These people had everything they needed to bring this carnival here and to set this carnival up.
Work they permits, all the...
Everything, right? Like, they were in communication with me. They were in communication. We went to the Ministry of Health. We applied. They gave us a listing of questions and forms that needed to be filled out. These people, I forwarded to them in the U.S. They filled out all of those forms and documents. They
so you did respond to the emails? You did respond to the emails?
Everything. Yes, we did, sir. Yes, we did. And I'm not going to let them sit here and say that these people did not go through the proper channel, because they did. You know, they responded to the email. They forwarded everything back to me. I hand-walked them in. I hand-walked these documents in and everything, Dwight. And another thing, I sat in a meeting with them yesterday with Ministry of Health. And I'm going to tell you, Dwight, I was quite embarrassed of the behavior, because, you know, one of the gentlemen, one of the doctors who were in the meeting appeared to be playing a video game on his laptop, because they sat across from us facing him. And he appeared to be playing a video game on his laptop, but he had no interest whatsoever in what these people had to say. These people have went above and beyond. They have even volunteered to put a vaccination tent outside of the carnival for person as an incentive for person who wanted to be vaccinated. You know, they have went above and beyond. Everything is in place. All safety protocols. They were told that they needed to be set up according to the CDC guidelines and everything. And listen, right, these people have information on COVID that I have not seen before. They have the chemicals and stuff. They have the breakdown of the chemicals, what's in the chemicals. They have all of the cleaning multipurpose, like the Lysol multipurpose cleaners, the Clorox multipurpose cleaners, and the spray bottles by the cases. You know, they have drums of 55-gallon drums of hand sanitizers. And like I said, they have the breakdown of the manufacturers and everything that's in the chemical and everything. So I do not understand why these people are not being allowed to run this carnival, because if you look, I've tried to show the gentleman, they didn't want to come to see the setup. I tried to show him a complete video of the whole grounds and everything that is set up. You know, that man has not looked at that video yet, because he was focusing on something on his laptop. Like I said, it appears to be a game he was playing because of the way his fingers
were. All right, let me ask you this. So did they say, okay, well, if you do this, this, and this, we will reconsider this. So do this, and then we can get back to you. Was there anything like that said, or was it just, nope, done, get out of here?
It was just, no, done, we're not interested. The risk is far greater than the whatever they're saying that the risk was far greater than the prophet or whatever, you know, and it didn't make sense to me because I said to him, I said, sir, listen, we're in the grocery stores every day, like herds and cattle bumping shoulder to shoulder. We go to church. I mean, we're having functions. The country is open up. We have 3 and 4 cruise shipping at a time with 10, 15,000 persons on it. I'm like, what risk are we talking about? Because, you know, like I said, these people have went above and beyond, right? They have went above and beyond. If you see the setup and if you see what they have in place to run this carnival, I told them that the risk right there itself and everything that they have, you know, the risk has been narrowed down.
So one of the organizers keeps saying that, or had been saying, although most recently he said no comment, but that the prime minister gave approval. Do you have any insight into what that's all about? Who he's talking about?
The prime minister had nothing to do with approving the carnival coming here. The prime minister, in fact, I don't even know if he knew that the carnival was coming here. Now we have a secretary general of the organization who's responsible, along with the chairman, who's responsible for things like that. They came in September, October. I think either October sometime they came in and they sat down with the secretary general and, you know, they had communications with the chairman, I'm sure of, and, you know, they did a contract. Okay. And after doing all of that, the process got started from that point. Okay. So yes, we have followed all the protocols. We have done everything. Now, I don't know where the breakdown comes in at Ministry of Health. I honestly don't know where the breakdown comes in. But as the representative for the Bahamas, I have done my part. The Secretary General has done her part. She has done a number of things to make sure that these people had everything they need when they got here.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I really don't know where the breakdown is or where the problem is, but I think it's a sad position for us to put our government in, you know, these people who has been coming here. But I'm 10 years, you know, I'm hearing things like they came here illegal. They didn't do the proper documents. Customs didn't give them no clearance. It's a bunch of nonsense.
Mm.
Okay, these people did everything they were supposed to do before they load those boats to bring those equipment here. They did.
So what is next for these folks? What are they going to do? What are they saying? I know they're saying they're hoping the house is going to reconsider, but what do they do in the meantime?
So that's the situation is. They've spent right now about $500,000 to bring those equipment here. And that money has to be prepaid to the boats in order for them to bring those equipment here. That money has to be prepaid. Their position right now is that they don't have the funds even because the carnival did not run and they did not make the money. They don't even have the funds to take the equipment back out of the country. So according to the manager yesterday, those equipment is going to have to stay here set up until next December.
Well,
you understand?
So they don't have that.
Yeah. So they just don't have the funding to take the equipment back out because, you know, they did not run the carnival and they did not make the money. So, you know, it's a very funny position to leave investors in your country in. You know, so I'm hoping and thinking that the government has to reconsider or should reconsider. You know, we'll see what happens by the end of the day. You know, all they're doing is asking Ministry of Health to come down, see the setup. You know, I've taken photos and everything. I mean, over 29 photos I have printed. I've printed myself and I've taken it to them. And I'm going to tell you, Dwight, this gentleman has not looked at one photo yet. Not one. You know, and that bothers me because my thing is, you know, are you even, like I said, there's a breakdown somewhere. Okay, where that breakdown is, I don't know. I don't know, you know, what the real issue is, but I think it's something that needs to be sorted out. They need to look into this, at least come down, see the setup, you know, walk around, look at everything. And if they're satisfied and comfortable that these people has everything in place, let the carnival run.
Mm. Okay. Bradley Kemp, thank you so much for talking with us this morning. We're going to continue to follow this, of course. Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right. Wow. We've got some more calls. Let's take these really quickly, and then we'll get to your text messages. Good morning, caller. You're on Morning Blend.
Holiday day to the Stark Universe along with you and Stephen Dwight.
Hi, good morning.
Morning.
Hey,
morning.
Dwight. You know, we need justice and law in this country. The thing is...
My what?
somebody is lying, because the thing is, right, government paid our money, took our money, all our money, taken out the treasury to bring the carnival here. And the thing is, for the party, not to benefit the Bahamian people, that's our money, okay? The guy who was playing, the doctor who was playing game on his computer, he knows the joke, because they think the Bahamian people are stupid. They took our money out of the treasury to have the carnival to come here in the Bahamas, and we're getting nothing. It's for the parties. So don't come talking that foolishness like the Bahamian people. Stupid. Okay?
That doesn't sound like what the gentleman just said either, but okay. Oh, did he say my sister-in-law? Who? What? Okay.
I don't know.
Oh, boy. Let's take this call, and then we'll get to your messages. Good morning, caller. You're on the air.
Good morning. How you doing?
Well, we are here.
Yeah. It is something that everybody...
Turn on your radio for us, please. Turn on your radio for us, please. There's a lot of feedback.
How is this? Prime Minister Hubert Minnis is still running the PLP. That's how powerful that man is.
Okay. All right. So everyone's... The holiday spirits are flowing. All right, let's get to your messages. This person is back to the local government. Dwight, you are incorrect. No local government can authorize a foreign entity to enter and set up a business in the Bahamas without going through the central government. That has to involve any approvals with no local... Yeah, I'm not talking about the little bushwhacked local government we do in this country, as we see Alan talked about earlier. I'm talking about a real empowered local government. All right, you can call whatever you want. Municipal island, whatever, but something,
right?
Real.
We could spend years and years arguing about the name. The thing is, if the principle is what we want, then either we need to all come to a conclusion as to this is what it is, or give it a different name.
Yeah.
If that's the case, give it a different name. If a brand new name will help. Make it easier to digest, then let's do that. But
at the heart, that's what it is, local government. Do you think
this is what I'm saying, Dwight. I'm saying...
Yeah, we're getting caught up on the wrong thing.
As the person who's trying to push it, you can't attack the person because they don't understand it the way you understand it.
Okay. All right. So city government, yeah, that's better. Sure. Island government, remember the group that the Bahamian group, what was the name that went to the Macy's Day Parade and everyone was so excited about it? You think the president at the time got involved in that? You think the cabinet, the secretary of the cabinet responsible for whatever had any say in this at all? No. The city of New York had to deal with that and make all the approvals and all the arrangements. This is a local event. Of course, the majority of the country lives on this island, so it's hard to say that, but it is. But we need to, and like I said, we're going to work on getting the education out there so people understand why that's important. I would hate to think that it would take the Prime Minister to get, as Seattle said, the Prime Minister would need to be involved in a carnival going to Grand Bahama or to Inagua, and that all this would have to happen. The cabinet would have to decide. I can't wrap my mind around it. But that's what you all like here. That's what you like it. That's how you like it. Anyway, so this person says here is a text. So you can have concerts and large parties on the islands, yet there's a problem with the carnival? Mm-hmm. The carnival will be open, Dwight. They were allowed to come, pay taxes, allowed to set up, and will be allowed to operate. I guarantee it. Uh-huh. This person says, so promoters can get approval for a soca concert, but a carnival gets denied? This one says, I don't get it. You guys follow the United States and everything, but the carnival can't open. When in the U.S., they have sporting concerts, rallies, subways, etc., packed with people.
This feels like we need to hear directly from the Ministry of Health.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just saying, because at this point, it feels we're hearing everybody but the Ministry of Health. So the only person who could actually give the reasons that this is happening is the Ministry of Health.
Yeah. This one says here, I hope they are ready for possible lawsuits. But Dwight, all they need to do is set up at a hotel and they'll be allowed. Oh, boy.
That's funny.
It's quite funny. Oh, dear. This person says, it's a beloved national event. Ministry of Health and the government could have handled this much better. This is simply silly. Okay. All I know is that Minister Michael Darvill is starting to sound a lot like the former Minister Renwick Wells. What? They need to open the carnival, and the carnival needs to drop these ridiculous prices. Well, now that second part is a different story. Different story.
Why? How much do you think those slices of pizza are worth?
Hey, man, you don't have to buy the pizza if you don't want it.
That's the only good thing there.
Oh, dear Lord. This person says, the difference between a carnival and other events, carnival draws large crowds of kids, and most of their devices are hands-on devices. That's a big difference. A lot of touching goes on at the carnival. How many children are vaccinated? Well, that means y'all can't open school then. That's what you're saying as well. School can't open in January. The hybrid, you forget that. Stay home, online learning. That means no one will ever graduate. We're doomed. We're doomed to fail. That's what you are saying, essentially. Okay. This one here. The cheapest carnival doesn't open. Well, cheapest carnival don't open. If only the vaccinated or those with negative tests will be allowed. That will be too expensive for a family of five or more who just wants to enjoy the season. Plus, the carnival is far too expensive now to require testing all along with carnival fees. So the cheapest, they don't open. It'll be too expensive. This carnival situation is sickening. They should get their permit. They are here. They usually come every year. They do the same process every year. I believe the government isn't being completely honest.
I hear this, like, the hair argument, and it's like, buying a plane ticket isn't enough, guys. Not to say that whatever isn't whatever, but at the same time, it's like, the fact that they're here doesn't mean anything except for that they are here. That doesn't work for anybody else in the country, and it doesn't work if you leave the country, so.
I'm not sure I agree with what you're saying. But anyway, this is...
If you go to the United States and you're like, well, I'm here and I'm qualified for this job and you guys need somebody for this job. And they're like, but you didn't do this thing.
That's definitely not what happened here. This is
I'm not saying that that's what happened here, but everybody keeps... It's a second texter to say they're here, so they should get it.
Well, I believe, I don't want to put any words in the texter's mouth, that they're saying, Ministry of Health, say what you need them to do and see if they can comply.
Right. Which is why I feel like we need to hear from the Ministry of Health.
Yeah, no one's stopping them from talking. We've invited them. We're waiting to hear. We're all waiting to hear.
Since yesterday?
Waiting to hear. But we will see. We will see what today brings. We'll see. Someone says here, why are we are ignoring COVID data so Dr. Darvill and the committee get to make things up to do whatever they want? I want to see the number of second COVID infection hospitalizations. Okay. This is most embarrassing for us as a country. Really? This is a catastrophic failure of the government. Are we back to the ways of the old government making these disastrous mistakes again? Well, our government is nothing but consistent no matter what. Which party they're affiliated with, it'll always be something crazy. Another one here. The representative did not speak to whether or not it was actually safe for the people in the carnival. Are safe with regards to vaccinations and variants. Also, how could we be able to take the equipment out not knowing if they would make sufficient money? They have money. Okay. Another one here. I think even under normal circumstances, health would have to give permission, ensuring that the bathrooms were in place and sanitary. Something is wrong with this entire business. Let the U.S. Justice Department sort it out. I don't understand. Okay. And a couple more. We got to go to the break. This is a matter where the COVID protocols were not met. The carnival is an event for kids who are the least vaccinated amongst us. Let's look at the events that get approval. They are events for adults. Well, when it's convenient, you all like to say the kids don't get sick, so open the schools, right? Or they don't get seriously ill, and so that's why schools should be open. So which one is it? Which one is it? Another one, carnival setup and no approval. This is a comical place we live in, one of a kind. And I wish we had this same energy on the fact that our children have been out of face-to-face learning. I don't care too much about my children attending carnival, but they can't go to school. Yeah, same thing I've been saying, right? Another one here, the PLP.
No,
it's
not the same thing.
It's not. No, man.
It's not the same thing you're saying. You're saying if we can't do this, then we'll never open schools. They're saying, why don't we take the same energy to have overpriced pizza? To getting
okay,
our
Steven,
children
you
got to
stop that. You have an issue with the people, but you keep, please keep that to yourself, though. I mean, what is your, why are you allowing that to cloud this conversation? You had a bad experience. You think it's overpriced. You don't have to go. No one's forcing you to go to the carnival.
And
no
I
one
won't.
Is. Right. Okay, but that doesn't need to be injected into here. No, come on now. That's not cool. That's not cool at all, right? Hey, we wouldn't want anyone to say that to anything you're involved in. That's not cool.
If there's better pizza, then, you know.
Well, go and get the pizza elsewhere. You don't have to get it from there. But people enjoy it. People want to go. And, hey, if you don't want to spend that amount, then don't. Simple as that. Let's take the break, and we'll be back. This is Morning Blend on Guardian Radio 96.9. And
everybody's going. This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
This is AP News. I'm Rita Foley. The nation's wrestling with a spike in COVID cases. It's so challenging in Indiana that the state's largest healthcare system has called in the National Guard to help overwhelmed healthcare providers. The coronavirus has now killed almost 800,000 people in this country. And now comes word that Pfizer's COVID booster has been approved for 16 and 17-year-olds. The AP's Ben Thomas has this.
The Food and Drug Administration has cleared a third dose of Pfizer's vaccine to people as young as 16 if it's been 6 months since their last shot. Hours after that decision, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention lifted the last barrier, saying those teens should get their booster as soon as it's time. It's not yet clear if younger teens will need one. The U.S. and many other nations have been urging adults to get booster shots to pump up immunity that can wane months after vaccination.
The actor Jussie Smollett says he was the victim of a real hate crime, but a jury convicted him of lying to Chicago police about the attack. His lawyer says he'll appeal. The AP's Oscar Wells Gabriel with What Happens Now.
The judge in the case, James Lynn, has set a post-trial hearing for January 27th. Jussie Smollett's sentencing will come after that. The disorderly conduct charges of lying to investigators are Class 4 felonies that could get Smollett a max of up to 3 years in prison. Most experts say he'll likely get probation, though it's possible that if the judge believes Smollett lied on the stand, he could make that sentence even tougher.
In southern Mexico, a truck carrying hundreds of migrants crashed into a bridge, killing at least 53 people. President Biden delivers closing remarks today in the first ever White House Summit for Democracy. Yesterday, he told world leaders democracy is backsliding around the world. The president's expected to speak this morning at Bob Dole's funeral. He and Dole became friends during their years in the Senate. This is AP News. Overseas to Britain now, and the AP's Charles de Ledesma.
A British appellate court has opened the door for WikiLeaks' Julian Assange to be extradited to the US. The court decision overturns a lower court ruling that found Assange's mental health was too fragile to withstand the American criminal justice system. The US had appealed the ruling, challenging the argument, lawyer James Lewis saying the WikiLeaks co-founder had no history of serious and enduring mental illness. US prosecutors have indicted Assange on 17 espionage charges and one charge of computer misuse. The new ruling is likely to be appealed. Charles de Ledesma, London.
Listen to this. Experts have analyzed dinosaur tracks in Spain from 120 million years ago. They say that type of dinosaur could go nearly 28 miles per hour. I'm Rita Foley, AP News.
It's time for your first look at traffic for this morning, brought to you by RBC Royal Bank. In your real-time traffic, we've got heavy traffic on Mile Butler Highway from well south of Fire Trail in the northbound lanes up to Tawnik Williams Darling Highway. Traffic's backed up along Fire Trail as well. Tawnik Williams Darling Highway seeing heavy traffic westbound to that roundabout with Mile Butler Highway. Gladstone Road also looking busy just north of Fire Trail in the northbound lane up to JFK Drive, and Blue Hill Road heavy traffic north of Soldier Road to the roundabout with Independence Drive and near the junction with Carmichael Road and just north of St. Vincent Road. The intersection with Cowpen Road and Zion Boulevard, heavy traffic there as well in multiple directions. And building traffic on Carmichael Road, in fact, it's getting heavy out there, westbound to Coral Harbor Road, pockets along Cowpen as well near Faith Avenue. In eastern New Providence, we're seeing the traffic building already on Eastern Road, mainly west of Fox Hill up to Johnson Road, and portions along Prince Charles Drive near Elizabeth Estates and Fox Hill Road, the intersection there, and Prince Charles and Beatrice. Beatrice and Charles Saunders Highway seeing heavy traffic there as well. That's your real-time traffic and your morning blend traffic alert brought to you by RBC Royal Bank, banking reimagined. And time for another check of your weather for today. We've got high pressure ridging continues to build over the islands. Beachgoers in the southeast Bahamas should exercise caution along east coast beaches due to rip currents. For the northwest and central Bahamas today, the forecast calls for mostly sunny, warm, and breezy conditions, especially in the central islands, with a chance of a few light stray showers becoming fair and mild tonight. For the southeast Bahamas, partly sunny, warm, and breezy with isolated showers, mostly fair and warm tonight. Temperatures getting up to around 84 Fahrenheit, 29 Celsius. Overnight lows tonight getting down to about 68 Fahrenheit, 20 Celsius. In your extended outlook, high pressure will continue to dominate the weather across the islands throughout the weekend. So for tomorrow, Saturday, variably cloudy, warm, and breezy in the southeast Bahamas with isolated showers possible. Sunday, partly sunny, warm, and breezy with isolated showers, becoming mostly fair at night. That's your morning blend weather check brought to you by John Bull. Tis the season to shop at John Bull. Every $50 spent gives you the chance to be one of 24 winners of a $500 gift card. Daily gift card winners will then vie for the grand prize of a $5,000 gift card. See in-store for details.
When engaging in physical activity, it is normal for the body to get tired and fatigued. In the same way, COVID-19 has brought on fatigue, but we must not give up the fight. Wear your mask over your mouth and nose, stay at least 3 feet apart from others, wash and sanitize your hands often, and avoid touching your face. Together, we will win.
This message is brought to you by the PAHO WHO, Bahamas and Turks and Caicos Country Office, the Ministry of Health, and the Healthy Bahamas Coalition.
That's the sound of a bite-sized payment I made on my new laptop.
Can I make a bite-sized payment on this amazing vacation?
Yes, with Scotia Select Pay. Now my big-ticket credit card purchases are more manageable with flexible bite-sized payments over 3, 6, 9, or 12 months at a lower interest rate. Scotia Select Pay allows me to better plan my expenses over time. The best part? No credit checks or financing application. Visit bs.scotiabank.com. Conditions apply.
It's a different kind of Christmas, but everything is here.
Yes, everything is here at ShopSmart Department Stores. Two locations just for you. One on Mackey Street next to RBC and in the Prince Charles Shopping Plaza. Come on down. Everything is here.
At ShopSmart. At ShopSmart. At ShopSmart. Oh, everything is here.
For 38 years, Struckum Commercial Pest Services has provided trained certified technicians while using environmentally safe, industry-standard products. Pests can devastate your business. Together, we will ensure adequate sanitation standards and safe pest exclusion methods. Uncontrolled pest problems lead to significant financial loss due to food contamination, business disruption, and stock waste. Struckum provides detailed solutions protecting your business and reputation. Struckum, number one in pest control services.
Open up, this at the time of the year.
BDC spreading Christmas cheer.
Open up to everybody when they're far or near.
Move to the rhythm of Christmas round air.
Open up.
Enjoy huge smartphone savings plus a Christmas gift when you sign up or make a purchase. Connect and share the magic this Christmas with BTC.
Christmas make it BTC. It's the better choice for you and me.
Move to the rhythm of Christmas. Move to the rhythm of BTC.
Conditions apply.
Unlock the value of your home with an RBC Home Equity Loan and do more for the holidays, like home improvements, investments, and build back your savings. When you switch your mortgage to RBC, experience the difference with no management fees, cash back on closing costs, and guidance from our mobile mortgage finance specialists. Learn more at rbc.com/Caribbean/equity loan and experience holiday joy with RBC. Offer extended to December 31st. Conditions apply.
Janae's Christmas Wonderland is open under the Big Tent. Get 20 to 50% off selected Christmas decorations. Restrictions apply. Trees in pink, frosted green or white in a variety of sizes. LED and laser lights, a large variety of tree ornaments. Lighted angels, Santa tree toppers, bright and lively colored Christmas balls. Garlands, wreaths, red and white stringed cranberry. Tree skirts, stockings, and lots, lots more. Add flowers, picks, and decorative mesh to brighten up your home or office this holiday season. And don't forget the toys at Janae's Chesapeake Road. Follow us on Facebook and Instagram at Janae's Limited. WhatsApp 817-3295.
You've tried everything. ASUS with your mother's cousin's sister's auntie, and even hiding your money under your mattress. But is your money safe? Your Bahamian dollar deposit in a member bank or credit union is insured up to $50,000. If anything happens, your deposit up to the insured value will be returned to you thanks to deposit insurance. Visit Deposit Insurance Corporation at www.dic.bf.
Protection for your money guaranteed with DIC.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Welcome back to Morning Plan. We're going to take a break for news. When we come back, we are talking about Human Rights Day and 16 days of activism. Today is the final day, and we're going to get into that right after the news. Stay with us here on Guardian Radio 96.9.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
Welcome back to Morning Blend here on Guardian Radio 96.9. We're streaming live on guardiantalkradio.com and on the Guardian Radio app for smart devices. Also on your televisions on Cable Bahamas Channel 969 and BTC Flow Channel 612. You can tweet us at Morning Blend 969. or facebook.com/morningglenn969. Text us 422-4796. Now at 8:20, time for another check of your weather for today, brought to you by Bahamas First Insurance. We've got high pressure that continues to build over the islands, and beachgoers in the southeast Bahamas should exercise caution along east coast beaches due to rip currents. For today, for the northwest and central islands, look for mostly sunny, warm, and breezy conditions, especially in the central islands, with the chance of a few light stray showers, becoming fair and mild tonight. For the southeast Bahamas, partly sunny, warm, and breezy with isolated showers today, becoming mostly fair and warm tonight. Small craft caution remains in effect. Temperatures getting up to around 84 Fahrenheit, 29 Celsius. Overnight lows tonight getting down to 68 Fahrenheit, 20 Celsius. In your extended outlook, high pressure will continue to dominate the weather across the country through the weekend. So for tomorrow, Saturday, and for Sunday, we're looking for partly sunny, partly cloudy, warm, and breezy conditions with widely scattered showers. And isolated showers in some parts of the country, mostly fair at night. That's your Morning Blend weather check, brought to you by Bahamas First Insurance. What's first for you comes first for us.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, quality.
And another check of traffic for this morning, brought to you by RBC Royal Bank. A reminder about Claridge Road that's going on there, the work, the paving. And avoid the area if you can. In your real-time traffic, a number of hot spots to tell you about. Carmichael Road westbound to Coral Harbor Road looking busy. Carmichael eastbound to Blue Hill Road looking busy once you get past Fire Trail. And there's a bit of building traffic near the junction with Milo Butler Highway and near Faith Avenue. Milo Butler Highway, of course, major traffic there, especially well south of Fire Trail. At roundabouts back to their eastbound on Fire Trail as well, all the way up to Tawnique Williams Darling Highway. And we're seeing some heavy traffic on Tawnique Williams Darling Highway as well. Hopefully the police are going to try to get you all out of there. So that traffic may be moving for you on Milo Butler, but Tawnique Williams Darling backed up a bit. Glass Road also busy for you northbound to JFK Drive. And we're seeing Blue Hill Road, heavy traffic north of Soldier Road. Soldier Road is a very hot spot this morning near the intersection with East Street and near Windsor Place and near Old Trail, and then further up as you approach the intersection with Burnett Village and Wolf Road. Burnett Road also heavy traffic for you westbound. Eastern Road westbound. Pockets along Prince Charles Drive westbound. Just busy, busy, busy out there this morning. Good luck to you all. That's your real-time traffic and your Morning Blend traffic alert, brought to you by RBC Royal Bank, banking reimagined. We're back here with Morning Blend on Guardian Radio 96.9. Dwight Strawn along with Stephen Hanna. And as we've been telling you, today is Human Rights Day. It's the final day of 16 days of activism to end gender-based violence. And this morning, we are very pleased to talk with the U.S. Embassy of Nassau about their State Department alum and the State Department alumni to talk about what they're doing in this global fight. Very pleased to welcome the U.S. Embassy political officer, Todd Sargent, and State Department Alumni Network Representative Kendra Bowe. Great to have you both with us. Good morning.
Good morning. Great to be here.
Wonderful stuff. All right, so let's talk about this. Todd, you can tell us about what you all are doing in the embassy to support local organizations as we are all seeking to bring about heightened awareness about global gender-based violence globally. What's been happening? Is Todd muted? Okay, Todd, I think you're muted. Yes, there we go.
All right.
Okay, there we go.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, we can hear you now.
All right. Great. Well, thanks for having me on. You know, we celebrate or recognize these 16 days of activism against gender-based violence. It's something that we do every year. It concludes on today, December 10, International Human Rights Day, as you mentioned. Gender-based violence is it's a shadow pandemic. A third of all women globally experience gender-based violence during their lifetimes. And so, it's worth really focusing, during these 16 days on the issue to raise awareness. But, you know, our U.S. government efforts are year long, as they should be, along with, civil society organizations in the Bahamas that work year round to combat, gender-based violence. For us, preventing, responding to all forms of gender-based violence is a cornerstone of our commitment to advancing human rights and furthering gender equality. As a matter of fact, our Secretary of State, which is sort of our, foreign minister, has a special office dedicated to global women's issues. And their mandate is to promote the rights and empowerment of women and girls through U.S. foreign policy. Mm-hmm. So what does that look like locally? We support the Pan American Development Foundation, they're going to be working with the Caribbean Women in Leadership, the Bahamas chapter, up in Abaco on efforts to combat gender-based violence up there. We hope to support the efforts of local groups like Equality Bahamas, Zonta, Bahamas Crisis Center, our sanctuary, where there's synergies and where we can work with them and support them. And then, of course, as we come to Kendra, we provide funding through the U.S. Government Alumni Engagement Innovation Fund. And so when someone's participated in an exchange program in the United States through the State Department, this could be Fulbright, maybe you've heard of that, or International Visitor Leadership Program, or YLI, or Youth Ambassadors. Once you've participated in a program like that, you're an alumnus or an alumna of the U.S. government program. And so then you're eligible to, propose projects, promote shared values and innovative solutions to global challenges. And that's what Kendra did. And, she received a grant and, she's been working on addressing gender-based violence.
All right. That sounds very exciting. Kendra, tell us more about it. Take us back to the beginning and then how we got to where we are right now.
Okay. Yeah. So once again, great to be on. And, yes, very thankful for the opportunity that was extended to me through the U.S. Embassy Bahamas. And, it started 2016. I was nominated by U.S. Embassy Nassau, for the IVLP program. That program would have been on youth and community conflict resolution. My work in the country is primarily in terms of with the youth. And, I was successful in that nomination and it was awarded. And there would have been about 16 other individuals from countries around the world. And we would have traveled throughout the United States for about almost a month, receiving training in various areas and forums related to that area mentioned. And when it was all over, the goal was go back to your various countries and continue to impact change. And I think one of the things to recognize even from this IBLP program is actually a lot of world leaders. Some of them actually have a background history from the IBLP program. So the current Prime Minister of New Zealand, Tony Blair, and many others actually were former IBLP participants. So that is where it all started. The group that I was with, we stayed in touch through WhatsApp, and then the decision was made to let's get together and try something. Let's collaborate, and that is one of the focuses of the engagement fund, mm-hmm. which is collaboration. And so, six of us came together to put forth an initiative. Honorable Sane out of Kenya, Mtima Solwazi out of Trinidad, Ritusha Tiwari out of India, and I'm trying to see who am I forgetting, Shahar, Hassan out of Sri Lanka. And then, of course, we have a partner in Ghana, which would be Queen Mother Nana Tessawa. And so we came together and collectively put forth an effort. The project is led by Mtima Solwazi out of Trinidad, and he would have submitted it through his embassy there. And I'm the project co-lead. And we were successful in being awarded. And so the focus is gender-based violence, and it's empowering women and girls. And it's called the GPS EMPO Women Summit. The GPS stands for governance, peace, and security. And our goal is to map the similarities and differences across borders of what women and girls face. Mm-hmm. And then to also look at now, how can we impact the difference in that area?
Wow.
So each country had to come up with about 20 to 25 participants who would go through the training. We started off in August with a focus group discussion, and I can tell you that was absolutely amazing. I was really pleased with the Bahamas participants who came from all walks of life, because we also included Boys and Girls School in this as well. And so we got their input, as well as students from the University of the Bahamas, students from some of the high schools. And so it was a cross collaboration in terms of student participation from here in the Bahamas. So we got their views in the focus group discussion. And then later we held in November a 1-week workshop where we engaged them further and trained them based on the questions that were outlined in that discussion. And then coming up next year, April, we will have a global summit where all of the countries will be on at the same time.
Wow, this is fascinating. Okay, so I want to get your views on the challenges we're facing here locally, and I guess compared to what you're seeing elsewhere. What do you say about that? I know in recent weeks, this is a lot of attention has been placed on this, not just because of the 16 days of activism, but just because of some events that have taken place here. But your views on where we are in the Bahamas in regards to recognizing the challenges with gender-based violence?
Well, I would say across the board, there are issues that are still considered taboo to talk about and to discuss. And so sex and the way our conversations regarding that, it's still something that is not fully discussed. And that's something that's actually we find across the board, irregardless, when we look at the six countries. I can tell you in terms of the similarities and differences that we have discovered in this summit, is that one of the things we've discovered is the Caribbean. There are definitely similarities in terms of Caribbean countries, more so than, as it were, in terms of with the African and Asian countries. So things such as parry or pulling train, the names or terms may be different than what we call them in the Caribbean, but it still represents somewhat the same thing. Whereas in some of the Asian and African countries, they would face some other issues that they may deal with there, more so like female genital mutilation or honor killings or honor rapes and stuff like that. So in the Asian countries, if two families are having a dispute, some of the men from one family would actually rape a female from another family in order to dishonor the family.
Oh, dear. Oh, dear. Oh, wow. And as far as we know, that isn't going on around here. But we do have our own challenges.
So, definitely. Yeah. Yes.
So what do we do? What do we do? And are these, yes, I know it got a lot of media attention, 6 days of activism, but does it make a real difference?
I definitely know that education awareness definitely makes a real difference, and advocacy efforts, once they're done effectively. I can tell you one of the things from the workshop that occurred as we were having a discussion as it pertains to violence towards women and girls. And so one of the young men in the workshop, he said, if girls would abide by the rules in terms of their school uniforms and wear them at the knee or below the knee, they would reduce the amount of violence that may occur or happen to them.
Oh, gosh.
And of course, the girls all responded and was like, no, 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 that has nothing to do with what we wear. And, you know, we have a right to dress how we want and all of it. And at the end of the workshop day, the general theme was, irregardless of what a female wears, it does not give a male or a person the right. And I think that's the key word there. It does not give a person the right to harm them. And at the end of that day, that young man was saying, you know, you all said that we must be open-minded. And I can say that my views, they have changed. I realize that it does not give someone the right, irregardless of what a person wears, to harm them. And so I think that's what education awareness does. And this is what the continued efforts of the U.S. Embassy through the IVLP program and the training that they provide for us, and then also the engagement fund, is to continue efforts to raise awareness and to increase advocacy in order to promote change in our country.
Mm-hmm. So Kendra, I presume that there was a lot of focus on students when you talk about education. What about persons who may be out of the educational system, maybe beyond the age of the traditional student, and also not one of those people inclined to sign up for a seminar about something like this? How are there any plans on how you would attempt to reach those persons or attempt to get your message to them?
Yes, so I can tell you, which is separate from this particular initiative, but again, at the end of our training and when we were in Washington, there was actually a charge that was given, and I took that charge very seriously. And one of the things that was said in that meeting in Washington was that the U.S. government is making this investment in you all for you to impact change in your countries. And it was like, now go out and make a difference. And that was something that stuck with me. So my work in the country, in various forms in terms of youth and you know, areas where there are issues, has expanded beyond that which this fund has provided. So, for example, we did a gender-based violence training at Boys and Girls School. So you're dealing with girls who would be some of the most high risk of violence based on their history and some of the challenges that would have happened to them, but also dealing with the males that would be confined to the Simpson Penn Boys School, who would be some of the perpetrators of violence. And so we did a training with them also on gender-based violence. And then a year or a little over a year ago, this would have been prior to the pandemic fully getting into swing, David Williams and I did a program at the Bahamas Department of Corrections, again addressing gender-based violence. And this would have been with 25 offenders who had already been convicted for violent acts and of various forms. And so rape being the most common denominator among the group, but violent acts across the board. And I can tell you there's some interesting information we received from that, like the fact that not all men who've already been convicted and charged and convicted believe that what they did was actually wrong. Wow. What they viewed as rape is not the same view that, you know, society may have had, because they have a different concept of it. The fact that some of them also were victims of abuse in their childhood. So the work is beyond just the youth. This is something that I've been passionate about, and we're taking it to the highways and byways, per se.
Mm-hmm. Wow. All right. So what's next? We are at the end of the 16 days of activism. Todd, you can jump in here as well. We clearly have a lot of work to do. What's next for everyone here after this point?
Well, first of all, I'm just inspired listening to Kendra talk. I mean, she's clearly doing amazing, amazing work. You know, when we look at gender-based violence, in the last couple of weeks, we've heard, you know, from Bahamian political leaders, some really encouraging words. You know, Prime Minister Davis and opposition leader Pintard have both talked about changing our mindsets, changing our attitudes, you know, being careful in how we negotiate our relationships. That's great. But let's also remember that, you know, a few years ago, the National Task Force on Gender Violence prepared a 184-page study on gender-based violence in the Bahamas. And so this is a comprehensive document that sort of lays out the problem in the Bahamas. And, you know, so there's sort of this, this roadmap, you know, this work has been done. And so what can the Bahamas do to fully implement this? I mean, is there a task force that has, that's empowered with funding to fully address this issue full time? So is there the willpower to take action, collective action, systemic action, to address the issue? But then also it's important, that's systemic, but also as individuals, we also just really need to take a step back and say, especially men, who are the perpetrators of gender-based violence most of the time, it's important for us to just say, what can I be doing personally? We don't need to make this about women and women changing their behavior or women taking action. Mm-hmm. It's like, okay, what can we men be doing? We can't place the burden on the victims. And so often the victims are women, including trans women. So what can we men be doing? Just to stop our behavior, to recognize our tendencies, to hold each other accountable if somebody makes a comment. Are we going to just laugh along with some insensitive comment, or are we going to, speak up and say something? So I think it's both systemic and individual action that's necessary.
Yeah. We got an interesting text here, and I'm expecting something like this to come. So they're saying, I'm confused about the agenda of your guests. It's called gender-based violence and champions equality. Why am I only hearing about it? The concern about women and girls, but not boys and men. And as you said, Todd, the majority is of the violence is aimed towards women, but men as well. Well, what do you say? And maybe Kendra, you can respond to this, to people saying that men are also victims here.
Yeah, definitely men are also victims, but the statistics show, and then I think we all can see and know in terms of from our society, that women and girls tend to be the most weakest in our society in terms of being at risk of violence. And this is across the globe. And so that is why the focus, because the proportion in terms of the amount in men. So we're not saying that men and boys don't always also suffer at the hands of abuse or violence. But we're saying that because the percentage is greater with women and girls, it is something that has garnered our attention to give some emphasis on in reducing those numbers.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Kendra, how can people reach out to you and get more information about the work that you're doing, especially what's going to be happening next year in April? What do people need to know?
Definitely, if more persons want to know more about the work that we are doing and the summit that is next year, April, because as I said, it will have all six countries on at the same time for the summit. It will be virtual. So the Zoom link would be made available for persons who want to be a part of it. And my number is 825-0559. Again, that's 825-0559. Or my email is bokendra@yahoo.com.
Okay, all right. And Todd Sargent, tell us more about what people can look forward to from the U.S. Embassy. If they want some more resources, what they can do.
Well, certainly our website has information on our exchange programs, that including IVLP, which Kendra participated in. As a U.S. government, we have a number of documents that we're working on. That are in development or will be developed to address gender equality, equity, and equality, including a domestic U.S. national action plan. So it's very much on the forefront of our U.S. Foreign policy.
Okay. Thank you both for being here with us this morning. Todd Sargent with the U.S. Embassy and Kendra Bowe with the Alumni Network, the State Department Alumni Network. And again, happy International Human Rights Day to both of you and to everyone as we are now at the end of 16 days of activism to end gender-based violence. Thank you again. Appreciate the conversation.
Thank you, Dwight.
Thank you. Thank you for being here.
Right. We're going to take a break and be back with more Morning Blend here on Guardian Radio 96.9. Stay with us.
With BTC Business's new smart solutions powered by super fast, reliable broadband, you'll feel like there are more versions of you working for you. From website design, development, and digital marketing to promote your business, 24/7 business class support to cloud solutions, security, and more. Multiply your growth today.
Physical distancing isn't the same as being socially distant. I know that sometimes it can be a bit difficult not being able to engage in the in-person social activities that we did before, whether that be going to the movies or just hanging out in person. But remember that different does not mean distant. As the generation of technology, we can get creative in planning virtual parties with friends and family. Play online games with friends. Plan virtual family parties, start a cooking competition among cousins, or do a virtual dance party. If you do gather in person, however, remember to avoid gathering in large groups. Always ensure that you wear your mask to cover your mouth and nose. And remember, wash and sanitize your hands often.
This message is brought to you by the PAHO WHO, Bahamas and Turks and Caicos Country Office, the Ministry of Health, and the Healthy Bahamas Coalition.
Tired of banks forcing you to use technology to bank the way they want you to? Your convenience is important. So no matter what your banking needs, Commonwealth Bank's friendly staff are always available in branch for that personal one-on-one service. But when you choose technology, our online and mobile banking app offers you state-of-the-art functionality. The choice is yours. Commonwealth Bank. Bank the way you want.
Technology makes every day in life just a little bit easier. Whether it's for joy, productivity, or creativity, Custom Computers has all the latest gadgets to conquer any obstacle. Imagine automating mundane tasks with tech and living a freer, richer lifestyle, all while staying on top of your goals. The path to freedom could fit in the palm of your hand. Discover tomorrow's technology today at Custom Computers on Patton Street, Cable Beach, and Caves Village through the Blake Road entrance.
Oh, look at that beauty, eh? The way that melted cheese sauce with mushroom drips from the sides. Boy, I just can't.
What are you talking about?
The bacon mushroom melt from Wendy's.
For real?
Yes, if you're gonna melt, then melt with this. Try the layers of cheese and smoky mushrooms that makes this burger more craveable than any other. Upgrade your Wendy's combo to a large up until December 17th and scratch and win over $45,000 in cash and prizes. For a limited time only, Wendy's, different inside and out.
That's the sound of a bite-sized payment I made on my new laptop.
Can I make a bite-sized payment on this amazing vacation?
Yes, with Scotia Select Pay. Now my big-ticket credit card purchases are more manageable with flexible bite-sized payments over 3, 6, 9, or 12 months at a lower interest rate. Scotia Select Pay allows me to better plan my expenses over time. The best part? No credit checks or financing application. Visit bs.scotiabank.com. Conditions apply.
It's a different kind of Christmas, but everything is here.
Yes, everything is here at ShopSmart Department Stores. Two locations just for you. One on Mackey Street next to RBC and in the Prince Charles Shopping Plaza. Come on down. Everything is here.
At ShopSmart. At ShopSmart. At ShopSmart. Oh, everything is here.
Spreading Christmas cheer.
Open up.
To everybody, whether far or near.
Move to the rhythm of Christmas round.
Get your chance to win $1,000 each week when you sign up for BTC Internet. With the Super Fast Extreme Internet Bundle, enjoy 150 megabits of speed per second and 157 channels for only $99.99.
Move to the rhythm of Christmas. Move to the rhythm of BTC.
Visit BTCBahamas.com. Conditions apply.
RBC can help you wrap up the year with holiday joy with an affordable auto financing package. Take advantage of up to 100% financing, competitive interest rates, extended repayment terms, backed by our mobile auto RBC sales experts who will meet with you safely at your convenience. Find out more at rbc.com/Caribbean/auto loan and experience holiday joy with RBC. Offer extended to December 31st. Conditions apply.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh News Smart Talk all day.
Lord, I save all type of quarters. I can beat out glass table dead, but man, we need the carnival. Please! Christmas, all mash up. Y'all tell the carnival they gotta pack up. I had my mind when the glass and cup. Look at my quarters, they all stack up. Christmas, all mash up. Y'all tell the carnival they gotta pack up. I had my mind when the glass and cup. Look at my quarters, they all stack up. It's dead ready. Who tell the carnival to come this way? Who make sure the carnival ain't straight? This right here, that's all the order. I could've got a glass or a cup for a quarter. Telling you, wanna get a pizza, you had a line long. You waiting for your pizza, you had a line long. Done get your pizza, you had a line long. Pizza tastes good, that's why the line long. I wanna ride, I wanna corn dog. Glass, cup, that's all I want. When I'm in the first glass, ha, 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 ha. I ain't moving from this spot. 3 cases of glass, 1 case of cup. Ask mother for quarters, mother dead hug. Virgin spot me, say, bring me one mug. They pull out the quarter, mug one shot. Christmas, all mash up. Y'all tell the carnival they gotta pack up. I had my mind in a glass and cup. Look at my quarters, they all stack up. Christmas, all mash up. Y'all tell the carnival they gotta pack up. I had my mind in a glass and cup. Look at my quarters, they all stack up. If they follow the protocols, then that's a go. If they don't follow protocols, then that's a no. Somewhere down the line, there's a mix up. Let's get it right, this could be fixed up. We sanitize our hands and we wear our masks. We can win cup, teddy bear, and win glass. Put the necessary measures in place. COVID police all over the place. I was saving my quarters from 2019. Now you're saying no carnival, it's gotta be a dream. Don't let the carnival leave. Don't let the carnival stay. Don't let the carnival leave. We wanna go down Christmas Day. Don't let the carnival leave. Hey, where y'all going, bro? Christmas.
Wow, okay. Hey, that solo. That one, oh boy. Hey, that, it just feels like I'm there. Feels like I'm there. Good work, solo. Good work,
when
solo.
When last you been to the carnival, Dwight?
It's been a while. It's been a while.
No, you don't actually care.
I don't think it's, you know, it's not, I don't think it's for adults anymore. I don't think it ever was, really. You take your kids, it's for teenagers and children. They are the ones who will have the best time. People in their early 20s, perhaps. But me, you know, and that's fine. There are better things for me to do. But it's, I'm not in the demographic anymore. And that's how I sometimes feel about Christmas, although that's not right. But, you know.
It's also true.
Yeah, it might be true. Might be true the way we have commercialized it. But hey, it's special for a lot of people and it's a rite of passage almost, right? And so.
A lot of things are.
And so, you know, we hope that it gets sorted out.
The times are changing.
Well, for older people, yes. And then, but for the young people, they're still looking forward to it and they still want to be a part of it. So, hopefully this gets sorted out. There seems to be a bit much.
If you follow protocol, it's a go. If you don't, it's a no.
Yeah. Well, you got to be allowed to follow it too, right? And so, based on what some people are saying, they haven't been...
They haven't been allowed to follow protocol.
You didn't hear that from the government officials who've been speaking. But these folks, according to their rep and others... Yeah,
you mean the guy who called in?
And others on the ground who were speaking earlier in the week, they're saying something different. And so it just sounds like this could be sorted out very simply.
Right. When we hear from the Ministry of Health.
Yeah, no one's stopping them, Stephen. We keep telling you that, right? We are waiting. We've been asking. We have been waiting to hear from them on this matter. And we will hopefully hear today. Hopefully hear today. You all know how it works. When you want these people to talk, they don't speak. When you don't want them to talk, that's when they talk all the time. Ask Menace, who can't stop talking to save his life. But that's how things work in this very bizarre, bizarre country. When we wanted him to talk, we got weird analogies. So that's just life in the Bahamas today, unfortunately. But we will see. We will see. We will see. Continue to call in and tell us what you think about this in our final few minutes of this part of the show before we get to Morning Blend Business and we talk about the Cruise Port share offering and what you need to know if you haven't signed up for that as yet. 323-6232, 325-4316, 425-4259. Tweet us, Facebook us, text us, 422-4796. We intentionally didn't address this in today's National Guardian. Menace says Davis must address Carnival issue. Okay, okay, yeah. Well, yeah, sure. Everyone's saying that. Everybody needs to address it. What's going on? What really happened here? We don't need Menace to tell us that. And he's still talking. Where's the leader of the FNM? Who also said something similar. He did say something similar. But why is Menace on the front page? I don't understand. Anyway. This text here, the speed at which Solo brings out these songs is incredible. Yeah, he's working overtime very hard on that. But that was a good one. I like that one.
Was it the gambling part?
Just the whole thing. It just seemed to really paint a picture of how it works, how it feels. But, you know, interesting work there. Some of your earlier messages that we didn't get to. Consider that Dr. Darvill and the committee say the risk is too great to open the carnival. I can only assume they are using their feelings instead of quantifying the risk. Another one here. This is a result of the control we've given up and trampling on seemingly simple rights. This will continue to mushroom into greater overstepping. Be vigilant. Okay. Mm-hmm. Another one here at what now? Okay, I'm not going to read that one there. But hey, folks, this isn't like licensing your vehicle. You don't have to go there if you don't want to. If you don't like it, don't go. Simple as that. But if you don't like it, to deprive other people who might like it. This goes back to that the liquor store issue back when we were in the, not even the heart. It was pre-heart, but anyway, the start of the pandemic. People, including you, Stephen, who were like, "I don't drink, so who cares?" No, I mean, come on. Other people, well, kind of felt like that. You don't like it.
You felt attacked, but that had nothing to do with what I said.
All right. Well, the point here is, if you don't like going to the carnival,
quote me right.
If you don't like going to the carnival, well, then don't go to the carnival. But other people want to go. Other people want to go, and it's going to disappoint a lot of people. They already aren't going to have junk canoe.
But before disappointment, we have to make sure that the Bahamian public is safe. Mm-hmm. Correct?
Yeah, sure.
I feel like that's what we've been pushing for the past year and a half. So once again, although you're going to say no one's stopping them from talking, we need to hear from the Ministry of Health.
Yes. Yes. Okay, let's take this call quickly. Good morning, caller. You're on the air.
Yeah, good morning, Dwight. Good morning, Stephen.
Hi.
Yeah, Dwight, you know, I appreciate Solo's song, you know. And not only that, listen, man, the last texter, right, about the incremental obligation of our civil liberties and rights, right, and said be vigilant. I'd like to congratulate that person. They're brilliant. They know what's going on. Now, let me just make a brief statement. Totalitarianism and despotism is far worse than COVID-19 or COVID-50, COVID-21, whatever. Let me tell you something. You see on AP News, there's a growing concern about global totalitarianism, right? And we know the whole agenda, Dwight. This is about controlling the sheep. You cannot control influenza virus. They know this, Dwight, because of H1N1, hemagglutinin and neuraminidase. All right? Those are the... Anyhow, have a good day, brother.
Okay. Thank you very much. A few more text messages before we take a break for news headlines. This person says here, I know this is a little bit off topic, but I think this needs to be done. I think the government should make vaccination mandatory in the public schools, like all the other vaccinations we had to take to attend school. Wow. And stop joking with these kids' education. They already have been out of school for basically 2 years. Please, let's get to learning. Please, our country depends on the future generations.
I concur.
That they should make it mandatory, the vaccines, the COVID vaccine?
Actually, you know what? We have, in order for me to go to school, I know I had to get vaccinated.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, like, I understand that we live in a day and age where persons feel that their personal rights trump the collective rights or the corporate rights of the country. However, that is a recent development in even feeling that way. Right? And so it's going to be very unpopular to say, but your personal rights are not bigger than the rights of the country. Mm-hmm. Now, we could argue whether or not this will help something, and then that's where we bring persons who their entire life is dedicated to studying this stuff, the doctors, the statisticians, the historians, we bring those persons in to have that conversation. But if it comes down to, should Stephen be allowed to walk the road naked because he feels the right to do so, and everybody else is like, no, this is impeding on our civil liberties, then I think I got to put on clothes.
Mm, okay. This person says here, Minnis is talking more now than ever because he's planning a comeback. He's hoping for the shoes to drop with Pintard, and then he'll emerge as a contender for the leader, similar to what happened with Tommy and Ingram. Okay, and this interesting text here. So how exactly is this situation different from the matter with Sands and that illegal landing? You remember that in the early months of the pandemic? Why are there no calls for mass resignations? Why the rationalization and the attempts at justifications? Why are we asking for Pintard to speak instead of massive pressure from the Prime Minister? We're definitely asking for the Prime Minister and the Minister of Health to speak. Absolutely, much more than Pintard. But anyway, why are the calls for Pintard to speak instead of massive pressure on the Prime Minister, the MOH, MOI, MOED, MOPW, MOFA? That's Public Works, Education, Finance, everybody to address their roles in this mess. Well, we want everybody. We need everybody to come to the table and explain themselves. Mainly health. I mean, we can figure out that you got certain approvals, but these are recent developments with the Ministry of Health having to approve events. That might not have been the way the last time the carnival was here. But why is there a challenge? Is it really that difficult? In what can be a controlled environment?
Watching the press conference that happened yesterday, it seems, and a reporter brought it up, that I can't remember the exact term for it. There's a term for it already, but like the order in which things happen or things are approved needs to catch up with what is actually required.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And so that was my conclusion at the end of it. It's not that either party is trying to be nefarious. It's that, like you said, perhaps they were unaware that they had to do this other step first or at all, or they thought they could just, you know, slide it through or whatever, right? Whatever it might be. However, because they could apply here and apply there and not apply to health first and then get the other things, that may be part of the confusion. Saying that's based on what I heard at the press conference. But even at the press conference, part of it was the Ministry of Health would be able to better inform you some of these questions.
Right. Well, we're going to have to leave that there. Hopefully, again, today we get more information about it. But, hey, Stephen, I know you have to run. Thank you so much. We're going to take a break and be back with Morning Blend Business and all that you need to know about the Nassau Cruise Port and your opportunity to buy shares. That's straight ahead. Stay with us.
This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Wake up, it's a new day. Wake up, it's a new day.
Good morning and welcome to Morning Blend Business on this Friday, December 10th, 2021. Welcome back to our Morning Blend listeners. Once again, I'm Dwight Strawn. Joining me now as my co-host for this hour, I'm very pleased to welcome Chester Robards. Chester Robards, thank you for being here.
Welcome. Good morning.
Yes. And this morning, as promised, we're going to be talking about the Nassau Cruise Port and the share offering. And when we talked about this on Wednesday, there was so much excitement. So I'm sure there are going to be a lot of people tuning in for this. Very pleased to welcome the CEO of the Nassau Cruise Port, Mike Moore Jr., and Senior Financial Analyst with CFAL, Angelo Butler. Gentlemen, welcome back. Both of you have been here before. Great to be talking with you.
Thank you.
Good morning. Thank you.
All right. So, I'm sure you all have already received an overwhelming response to this so far. How's it going, Mike or Angelo? Anyone can answer that one for us.
Go ahead, Angelo.
Okay. So good morning again to your audience. Like you said, the response has been, as expected. It's, you know, there was a lot of excitement and build up. So we're being, you know, we're receiving a lot of calls, a lot of emails, and we're just, directing people to the website where they can pretty much find, just about everything that they need.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. So Mike, take us back. People have been paying close attention to this, but some maybe perhaps not. Tell us what's happening at the Nassau Cruise Port and why people should consider investing in it.
Well, you know, Prince George Wharf for decades has been our rough diamond from a cruise tourism perspective. And it's unfortunately, it kind of evolved into just being an eyesore and being the single largest tourism gateway to the country with, you know, close to 4 million people arriving by ship and, you know, visiting Nassau. It really didn't do any of us justice. Then on top of that, you know, we've had issues with downtown in terms of the aging look of downtown and numerous thousands, really, of tourism surveys that say, been here, done that, you know, it looks old, nothing new. And so there was an opportunity, and that opportunity was, you know, for us to come together and take a fresh look at our waterfront and our cruise tourism product. And what we have began doing back in early of 2020, it started off with raising about $135 million in the local markets with the support of CFAL as the leader and other financial service providers coming in under CFAL, is that got us, you know, through about 40% of our project. And then recently we would have raised another $110 million. Which came out of the U.S. markets. And I think that's extremely telling and significant, because when you think about very large investment institutions within the United States having the ability to invest anywhere in the world, to include the United States, and for them to choose to put $110 million offshore in Nassau, in the Bahamas, in the cruise sector, speaks to the confidence that they have in terms of the recovery, as well as the value proposition of the cruise sector and its growth potential going forward. What we've been able to do with that 110 plus the 135 is that we've just about completed our marine construction efforts, and we've actually received our first cruise ship on Wednesday at our new berth, which is called berth number 6. The Carnival Legend came in. We've also extended berth 1. And what that does for us is it takes the daily capacity, passenger capacity, from 20,000 passengers to over 30,000 passengers. The significance of that, as someone considers this investment opportunity, is that by increasing our daily passenger capacity by 50% or more, that's what's going to pay the return to investors. So from a business viability perspective, the fact is that this cruise industry is still building bigger ships, more ships, and these big ships need big berths, and we have built longer berths. That is a strategic advantage that Nassau continues to enjoy, and actually we put ourselves even further out front from our regional competitors. Since the industry kind of got back on its feet in the summer, we started off with 14 cruise ships in July. We had 93 cruise ships in November. We're going to have over 100 cruise ships this December. We're actually handling more cruise ships than the Port of Miami.
Wow.
So it's, you know, we are strategic to the industry. So this is a fantastic opportunity, and it's going to be an even better experience for us as Bahamians to come down to our waterfront. It's going to be another opportunity for those guests that are at Atlantis that after their third day at Atlantis say, what else can I do? The same thing applying at Bahamar. Mm. And then not to mention the 4 million cruise passengers that are going to be right at our front door. We're just so excited. And this is really, in our opinion, a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity for Bahamians to own a piece of our strategic tourism, you know, sector, being the cruise sector. And that's why we've partnered with CFAL to make it happen.
Yeah. In short term, before we get to the long term, what are we expecting? We know next year is going to be a big year for you. So over the next 2-3 years, what can we expect? And then further down the road, maybe 10 years from now, what are we looking at?
So we base our forecast off of 2019, obviously being the closest year to all of us that is, you know, pre-pandemic. And at that time, we received 1,206 vessels. We received 3.85 million passengers that year. With the bookings that we have for 2022, the bookings we have are very close to 1,300 confirmed bookings for 2022. We're reaching close to 1,400 bookings for 2023. What we're going to find is we're going to find the passenger occupancy continuing to climb through 2022. We expect that 2023 will be, at the 100% double occupancy. When we start to see those kinds of numbers, you're looking at cruise passenger arrivals based on the confirmed bookings that we have right now that exceed 4 million passengers. Mm. Now, the offering memorandum, which CFAL has on the site, which is BahamasInvestmentFund.net, is a conservative look. It's what we believe to be a safe look at the sector. And so, for example, in 2022, you're going to see numbers there of 3.3 million passengers climbing to 3.7 million passengers in 2023. But again, looking at the bookings that we have from the ships, our numbers our expectation would be that we beat that. And then going forward, we've got larger ships coming out of these shipyards that are carrying 6,000 passengers. So we're going to continue to see our passenger counts climbing. The other thing about our fee structure is that beginning in 2023, our port fees, which are attached to the passenger headcount, increase by US CPI each year. And so the fees assessed to the cruise industry will continue to climb each year in line with CPI. The main 90% of our income stream is based off that passenger count. Mm-hmm. The commercial rental aspect of our business is, 10% and less. We're really looking at downtown, or rather our waterfront investment specifically, as being a canvas, a blank canvas, an open canvas for authentically Bahamian entrepreneurial innovation. We've got coincidentally tomorrow, we have a BAIC trade show at Atlantis, where we're helping Bahamian artisans and manufacturers that creates, you know, interesting Bahamian products to come and showcase their wares. With the purpose of obviously selling to the public, but more importantly, supporting just, you know, the necessary distribution channel so that their products actually can work their way through the retail merchants that are going to be within Nassau Cruise Port commercial space. So we're really trying to open up the Nassau Cruise Port as a distribution outlet for manufacturers of authentic Bahamian products throughout the country, which is so exciting.
Yeah.
And so it's, there's just so much good news, about this project, and so excited about it. And it is a opportunity. I think it's a once in a lifetime opportunity, because after Angelo raises the $25 million for us, you know, there isn't any more equity to go to market with. So Angelo, you got to speak to that.
Yeah. Okay. And we'll get back to you, Mike, about some of the exciting things that are going on. Okay. So let's talk about this thou, Angelo, $25 million. Tell us about it. The buy-in, what people need to do, who should be a part of this, what people need to do if they are interested in being a part of this.
Okay, so there's a website, www.bahamasinvestmentfund.net. On that website, we have just about everything individuals need to consider this. We have an extensive list of frequently asked questions. We have the offering documents, the offering memorandum, subscription instructions that tells you exactly what you need, where to go to submit your application, where to send the funds, because everything is going to be done virtually. There's also a manual, you know, if you have any challenges with the website, that tells you, you know, exactly how to go about filling out the application. So we've tried to make this as seamless as possible. There's also the salary deduction authorization form on there for the civil servants who wish to participate in that program. So everything is there. You know, we're encouraging persons to go to that website, read up on it. You know, each individual needs to consider their personal situation, you know, how willing are they to take risk, because there is risk involved. You know, we're confident that tourism is going to come back and the industry is going to recover and, you know, the project will do well, but there's always that risk and uncertainty. And so, you know, you must consider that. Read through the offering memorandum, look at all the risk involved. And, you know, at the end of the day, if you have questions, you can contact us via email or telephone and discuss it further if you need. But make sure that you are comfortable as an individual, that this is something that you see yourself investing in, because it won't be something that, you know, you invest in today and tomorrow you're a millionaire. No, This is a long-term investment in the tourism sector, in the cruise industry, in the Bahamas. And over time, you should see good returns.
All right. So we've heard with the launch, we heard that there's a bottom-up approach. Explain that term to us, what that means. And so does that mean that will prevent a rich guy like Chester Robards from buying up all the shares? That's not going to happen, right? But explain that approach to us.
Okay, so the idea is for the minimum subscription is $1,000 or 200 shares, and the idea is that everyone, or we'll try to make sure that everyone gets $1,000 worth before anyone gets anything additional.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So the idea is to continue allocating, so everyone gets their first 1,000 and their second 1,000 and their third before, you know, like you said, some guy like Chester coming in with 10 million and, you know, trying to buy the whole thing. So the idea is to have as wide of participation as possible. And you know, that's the intent.
Mm-hmm. So almost everybody could, who was interested, end up with something. Basically,
yes, that's the hope and that's the intent.
Mm-hmm. All right,
Jessica,
I
know a lot of people are gonna ask and consider. So, you know, when they invest, how they'll see returns, what returns could look like, how it's calculated. Can you help with that?
Sure. So the primary way you will earn returns, as people are most commonly familiar with, is dividends. Now, there's not expected to be a dividend paid until at least 2025, and that's why I said this is not an overnight thing, right? The construction is still ongoing. The industry is still recovering. So, you know, we don't want to do something that's not sustainable. So by that time, we believe that the business will be sustainable enough that dividends can be consistently paid over the life of the project. But also, as the project does well, the value of you know, your initial investment will also grow. All right. And so there's the dividend that you'll receive as well as the capital appreciation. You know, the dividend we expect, you know, once a project is successful over the life of it, we've been projecting, dividend yields of about 10%, per year, which is, you know, pretty good compared to alternatives in the market. So, but like I said, at the end of the day, there's risk involved. This is equity. So the better the company does, the better your returns will be. But there's also the, you know, opposite side of that, mm-hmm. that you must consider.
Now, we're getting a text here, and I was going to ask you about that as well. So if you want more than 200 shares, what is the process like? How does that work? And when will you be able to purchase more if you're waiting for everybody to be able to get at least 200?
Okay, so the you can subscribe for as much as you want. You must subscribe for a minimum of 1,000, and then the increments thereafter in intervals of 500. So you can apply for 1,500 or 2,000. You can apply for 500,000 if you want. But at the end of it, as we're allocating, we're going to look through and make sure that, you know, we use that bottoms up approach. So if you want more than 1,000, apply for it. At the end of the offering, once we see what's the total number, then we will, you know, allocate that down, and you'll get a confirmation advising you of how much you got. And if there's any to be returned to you, we will send that to the bank account that you provided when you were signing up.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Cause this person's saying that, I bought shares in the container port and had to be refunded monies based on the government allotted share offering. So that would happen in this scenario as well.
If we're oversubscribed, that's a possibility.
Right.
Yes.
Wow. All right.
On that point, though, sorry, on that point, yep. it's important to recognize that in that specific example, the share price or share appreciation, rather, I think it's trading at $39 right now compared to the $10 that that person would have bought at.
Mm-hmm.
So that's almost a 400% increase in the share appreciation or capital appreciation of that investment, which is in addition to the yield that's being paid, which is what Angela was referring to. So that is what is anticipated here, that kind of structure. So I think that people should, you know, recognize that the 1,000 that they come in with, obviously it's everybody's hope that that 1,000 entry turns into 2,000, 3,000, 4,000, whatever the number ends up being down the road in terms of the share price.
Yep, absolutely. Absolutely. Okay, so you mentioned it for civil servants or public servants, a deferred program eligibility option there. I'm sure some are wondering why just them, but you can answer that question and tell us more about that.
Okay, so we reached out to, you know, a number of businesses to see whether businesses were interested in the program, because, you know, we would need the businesses to guarantee that we will get those funds at the end of the day. And, you know, a lot of them were not willing to do that guarantee. And so, you know, as it was done in the ROC port example, the Treasury, of course, is capable of facilitating that transaction. And so that decision was made. But for those persons interested in that, on the website as well, there's the salaried deduction authorization form. You would need to take that form, of course, through your employer, which would be a government agency, and they would have to stamp that form. Once that form is stamped, you would go through the regular application process, which is explained in those subscription instructions. The only difference is where the system asks you for proof of payment, you would attach that salary deduction authorization form, and then we would liaise with the Treasury to make sure that those payments are received each month. And so you won't get full ownership of your shares until that full payment is completed at the end of October.
And if you sign up today, you need to pay today. Is that how it works?
Yes, that's correct.
Yeah.
When you're completing your application, the system is going to ask you for proof of payment. Mm-hmm. So again, in those subscription instructions, the bank account for CFAL is in there. And so you send us the transfer, go to the website, attach two forms of identification, proof of address, a copy of that transfer, and once you press submit, the system will give you a confirmation, and that's it.
Mm-hmm. All right. And it's a relatively short window. How long is this open for?
It's open until Friday the 17th, so you have about 5 business days remaining. It opened on Wednesday, so we've had some applications already coming in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's
quick. Friends who are debating right now over whether you need a certified copy of your passport. That's what the site asks for, right?
It does. For subscriptions under 50,000, you should be fine to submit it as it is.
Oh, okay.
All right. And again, the website is BahamasInvestmentFund.net. BahamasInvestmentFund.net. All right. Let's take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk more with Angelo Butler and Mike Mora about Nassau Cruise Port and about this share offering and a lot more to get to. This is Morning Blend Business on Guardian Radio 96.9. Stay with us.
At Fidelity, the holidays are all about family, spending time with loved ones, and being thankful for the little things in life. Worrying about bills should be the last thing on your mind, especially during the holidays. Let Fidelity help you get your bills under control. Fidelity can also get you started with a real savings plan that actually pays you interest. The only thing you need to think about is what you will do with the savings in your pocket this Christmas. Now that's what I'm talking about. Fidelity Bank is here for you this holiday season because you are family and family is important to us.
This traffic report is brought to you by Shield Insurance and Prudential Loss Adjusters.
Final look at traffic this morning in Southwest Gateway is performing as expected. Lengthy traffic line still trying to get out there on Gladstone Road. The Malabala Highway, great results this morning. Just about totally cleared out with the assistance of Tonics William Darling. So the amount of congestion in the roundabout there at Tonics William Darling and the Malabala Highway has been worth it because the traffic is just about gone from that area. And the empty traffic on Carmichael Road has calmed down to getting through that Blue Hill Road roundabout. The ride is a little bit more freer now that it's much later. Still have empty traffic lines on Independence Drive West Lane, slowing the roundabout down there at Blue Hill Road, so traffic coming off the hill is a little bit slow. But once past that, the ride into the city is a pretty good one. On the eastern side of town, French South Drive, the ride in pretty good, only slows down after you cross Soldier Road getting into that Marathon Road intersection. And the eastern road traffic gradually getting out of there. Still have a bit of a traffic line leading out to Shirley Street, but that's going to dissipate soon. And both Marathon Road North Lane headed into the city and Soldier Road North Lane headed to the Wolf Road, Village, and Burner Road intersection is quite busy. But that's the final moments of the morning commute. And coming in from the west, minor slowdowns, but nothing to talk about. Inner city areas, morning commute basically over. Now you're getting ready for the remainder of the day. This NASA Traffic Report is a service of Garden of Eden Eastwood, where you've got delicious Bahamian breakfast every morning until Sunday from 7:30 until 3 in the afternoon. Snappers with peas and grits and two sides for lunches on the menu today. Order yours now. 819-5574. That's 819-5574 for easy pickup directions to Garden of Eden. Ruth around the sky, look at traffic in real time. I'm VAN.
Michael was in a horrible car accident. Prudential Loss Adjusters managed his claim and got him the settlement he deserved. Sierra's roof received hurricane damage. Thanks to Prudential, she and her kids are happy with their claim settlement. Tammy fractured her ankle in a slip and fall. Prudential saved her time, money, and peace of mind. Prudential Loss Adjusters are here for you whenever a tragedy strikes. Call 322-4026 now.
Don't wait for disaster to strike. This hurricane season, be ready. Protect your home with an affordable and comprehensive home insurance policy from Shield Insurance. You can't control what nature blows your way, but with Shield Insurance, you can rest easy as you ride out the storm. Protect your largest and most valuable investment. Don't take a chance. Put your home in our hands.
Shield Insurance agents and brokers in Nassau. Call 356-7202 or Freeport 352-5945.
The Water and Sewage Corporation advises its customers that the corporation will close at 2 p.m. today, Friday, December 10th, 2021, at all locations for a year-end meeting. Customers wishing to make payments may visit the corporation's website or pay by phone by dialing 302-5630 or visit their local bank or any cash and go, Omni Flash Cash or Sun Cash locations. The corporation apologizes for any inconvenience caused.
Helping out each other, family and everybody. It's a simple act of kindness.
Lumi and RBC.
RBC wants to spread acts of kindness during this festive season. One simple act of kindness for our friends, co-workers, and communities can cause the brightest smile. Help a stranger, give a food basket, or call an elderly person. Share your stories at facebook.com/RBC Caribbean.
Acts of kindness, RBC.
See something? Say something. Call Crime Stoppers Bahamas in Nassau, 328-8477. That's 328-TIPS. Or from the Family Islands, 242-300-8477. That's 242-300-TIPS. Be safe and happy holidays, Bahamas, from the directors of Crime Stoppers Bahamas.
Janae's Christmas Wonderland is open under the Big Ten. Get 20 to 50% off selected Christmas decorations. Restrictions apply. Trees in pink, frosted green or white in a variety of sizes. LED and laser lights, a large variety of tree ornaments. Lighted angels, Santa tree toppers, bright and lively colored Christmas balls. Garlands, wreaths, red and white stringed cranberry. Tree skirts, stockings, and lots, lots more. Add flowers, picks, and decorative mesh to brighten up your home or office this holiday season. And don't forget the toys at Janae's Chesapeake Road. Follow us on Facebook and Instagram at Janae's Limited. WhatsApp 817-3295.
What does Christmas mean to you? What about making a loved one's face smile bright or driving your own car? CIBC First Caribbean gives you up to 100% financing on auto loans. Apply online and let our auto financing take you places this Christmas. Visit CIBCFCIB.com for more information. Terms and conditions apply.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
It is time for your morning business report, brought to you by CFAL. Even after 18 months of weathering and remediation work, there are still high concentrations of oil in the areas impacted by the Equinor oil spill during Hurricane Dorian back in 2019. The findings were revealed in a report released recently by the Bahamas National Trust entitled State of the Environment Post-Dorian. According to the BNT, the concentration of oil was still high enough to negatively impact birds and other organisms, and significant remediation is still needed at the quarry site north of the main area cleared by Equinor. Waterkeepers Bahamas conducted the investigation in March this year. It analyzed soil samples collected from the Equinor spill site. It says the highest concentrations of total petroleum hydrocarbons were measured in soil samples in areas 2 and 3, the areas that received the most wind-blown oil. You can read more about what they found in today's Guardian Business section. The central bank's quarterly economic review for the third quarter of 2021, revealing what government has been touting for weeks, that the country's revenue collection has improved this year, especially value-added tax collection, which improved by $160 million when compared to the same period last year. According to the report, the review, total tax receipts improved by $230.3 million to $499.7 million for the third quarter. The report explains that those tax receipts comprise 87.2% of the government's total revenue, of which VAT represents 59%. The Bahamas has the opportunity to lead the way in global compliance, according to CG Atlantic Compliance Officer and Money Laundering Reporting Officer Derek Smith, who says his jurisdiction is already exceeding international standards. He was speaking following his presentation to regional and global stakeholders at the Association of Certified Anti-Money Laundering Specialists, the third annual AML and Anti-Financial Crime Conference. Read more about it in today's Guardian Business section. And travel services company Student Travel Services is expecting thousands of college students for spring break 2022 here in Nassau. It can be revealed a season of club parties and concerts amid the ongoing COVID-19 pandemic. According to STS, the season will be called Bahamas Beach Bash and will feature 20 days of nonstop parties, contests, party cruises, and events. The company stated that concerts by Cheat Codes, Sam Felt, and Lost Kings will happen during the promotional period as well. Overseas companies of all sizes are rethinking their plans to send workers back to the office as the new Omicron variant adds another layer of uncertainty. Alphabet's Google and the U.S.'s second largest automaker, Ford Motor Company, are among those once again delaying their return to office plans, while other businesses whose employees have already returned are considering adding extra precautions like requiring masks. Officials in the United Kingdom, Denmark, Norway, and Sweden have also asked people in recent days to work from home if they can because of concerns about the variant. Meta, formerly known as Facebook, and ride-sharing company Lyft, separately announced Tuesday that they're letting workers delay their return when offices fully open early next year. Meta still plans to open its headquarters at the end of January, but will allow workers to delay their return as late as June. Lyft says it won't require workers to come back to its offices for all of next year, though they will fully reopen as planned in February. And Royal Dutch Shell investors are expected to change the company's name today and approve moving its headquarters from the Netherlands to the United Kingdom, as the oil giant faces criticism that it's been slow to cut greenhouse gas emissions. Shell says the changes will accelerate payouts to shareholders and help the company shift its focus to renewable energy. Shareholders met today to vote on the plan, including a simplified corporate structure that will give the Anglo-Dutch firm a single class of shares and unify its headquarters in London. The move illustrates the challenges oil companies face as they pivot from a business model that has generated huge profits and reliable dividend payments for shareholders toward a more uncertain future tied to wind, solar, and biofuels. With returns from the new ventures still unknown, investors are demanding quick returns from existing assets, according to UK energy experts. Until now, Shell has had two separate classes of shares, one for its Dutch arm and one for its UK arm, which together comprise Royal Dutch Shell PLC. The structure is a legacy of the company's creation in 1907, when a British import-export business that once traded in exotic shells merged with Royal Dutch to create what ultimately became one of the world's largest oil companies. In addition to creating a single class of shares, the company plans to drop Royal Dutch from its name. In your Market Watch, recapping trading on the BSIX from Thursday, your market movers. APD Limited moving 215 shares, closing unchanged at $39.95. Benchmark moving 9,500, up 2 cents to $195. Bank of the Bahamas moving $1,000 shares, closing at $236. Down 2.88. Cable Bahamas moving 3,061, unchanged at $3.05. Consolidated Water down 4 cents, closing at 2.15. Emir Incorporated down 8 cents, closing at 11.50. The BSIX All Share Index closing at 2,184.72, up 26.46. That's your Market Watch. And that is your Morning Business Report, brought to you by CFAL, growing wealth for future generations. And we are back here with Morning Blend Business on Guardian Radio 96.9. Dwight Strong along with Chester Robards. We are talking with Mike Mora of the NASA Cruise Port and Angela Butler with CFAL, talking about the NASA Cruise Port share offering. And more questions about the port. Mike, we'll get to that in a bit. Let's see what this caller has to say. Good morning, caller. You're on Morning Blend Business.
Morning, hello.
Good morning.
Hi. Question. I'm interested in buying shares. I'd like to know if there's some way I could come in, sit down, speak with someone, and then buy my shares.
Okay. Thank you very much. Angelo, did you hear that? Does it have to be all online, or can people come in?
Yes, everything has to be done online. If someone needs assistance, like I said, you could probably give us a call and we could guide you through the process over the phone. But the application must be submitted online.
Okay.
Who don't like banking online. I don't trust it. That's why I was asking if I can come in or somewhere I could just drop off the cash. Do you have a online account that I can send it?
Yes, on the subscription instructions, there's the banking instructions. If you prefer not to do it online, you can actually go into the bank and just have the bank send the wire for us. And as you're completing the process, just upload a copy of that receipt as your proof of payment.
Okay, and what number can I call you guys at?
502-7010.
7010. Okay.
Correct.
Now another question, because I do a lot of investments, especially at the banks are charging us for everything now. You said we won't be able to get dividend checks for the say 3 years, and our investment will naturally increase as things get better.
Well, yes, the expectation is as the project is successful, the value of the shares would go up over time.
Oh, okay. I just want to make sure that you guys are going to, you know, because believe it or not, I believe you're going to be very successful. As you increase your profits, our investments will also increase, and there's not going to be any underlying little dots that we can see.
That's the plan, but like I said, you could just read the offering documents to make sure there's nothing that you missed. Like you said, there's no under or hidden feature. So just read through the documents carefully, and if you have any questions after, we would be more than happy to assist with those.
Okay, Angelo, and I'll be able to reach you at 502-7010.
Correct.
All right, have a good day.
Okay. All right.
You too.
Thank you very much. Mm-hmm. All right, we've got one more, and then we've got some text messages here. Good morning, caller, and Morning Blend Business.
Good morning, Dwight, and your panel. Now, this is for CFAR. That's a long-term investment. Can I buy an ETF for my children and grandchildren? And trust
okay.
for?
Is this... we're talking about the cruise.
Can I buy the shares and trust for your trust for my children and grandchildren? This is a long-term investment, too. I'm going to put it on my will. Long as I'm dead, they take my death certificate, and they control it or cash it in.
So as that's you're completing the
other shares or other bank accounts, mm-hmm. put it in trust for.
Okay, let him answer. Uh-huh.
Yeah, as you're completing the application form, you'll get to a section that speaks to a beneficiary. If those individuals are under 18, you may need to put a guardian there for them. But if they're over 18, you can just list them as the beneficiaries, or you can choose the option to leave it to your estate and deal with that through will. So whichever you prefer.
Mm-hmm. All right. Mike, of course, this is all on various websites there, but tell us more about it. Somebody's asking about how far east do you plan on going? And I know earlier you talked about creating this experience, an authentically Bahamian experience as well, and some more of the features that we can expect with the cruise port in the next few years.
Sure. So if you were to if you were a drone looking down at Nassau Cruise Port, East Street is our eastern boundary. So the project does not go further east than East Street, but going into the harbor, obviously. And then as far as going west, our western boundary would be just to the eastern side of where Senior Frogs is or was. And so that's essentially the boundary. And then I happen to have Amanda Friedman here with me now, who has been working very hard on this trade show that's happening in Atlantis tomorrow, which is intended to promote and identify additional authentically Bahamian products in support of this new authentically Bahamian commercial experience that we're going to have down there. So Amanda, if you wouldn't mind chiming in on that.
Sure. Thanks very much, Mike. Good morning, everyone.
Hello again, Amanda.
Hi. So Nassau Cruise Port Limited, in conjunction with BAIC, are hosting an authentically Bahamian trade fair tomorrow and Sunday. So that's December 11th and 12th from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. in Atlantis. in the Grand Ballroom there on Paradise Island. And we're bringing together over 80 vendors selling their authentically Bahamian products and goods and providing network opportunities to promote craft cottage industry and opportunities for connection within the retail spaces. And we're very excited to be having this trade fair this weekend, because we know that through our authentically Bahamian focus, we are going to be bridging the gap and making connections with artisans from all over the archipelago. And we're so pleased to have 17 Family Island participants. So we're basically bringing them all together to get to know one another and to provide authentic Bahamian goods to wholesale purchasers from hotels, restaurants, Airbnbs, and to provide an opportunity for members of the public to buy Bahamian and shop local this holiday season.
Yeah, sounds good. Looking forward to it Saturday and Sunday, right?
Yes, and entrance and parking are free. So you can check out us, our Facebook and Instagram for all of the details. We have our flyers circulating on social media, but we're very excited to have everyone there. Mm-hmm.
What are the opportunities going to be like for artisans to be in the cruise port? You know, there was a call a few months back for people to apply for spaces. How many will be accommodated? What are we looking at exactly?
So we had, as part of the development of the concession for the Nassau Cruise Port or Prince George Wharf area, some Bahamians, I was about to say many, but many people probably don't know, the Festival Place, which existed within Prince George Wharf, had existing tenants that were tenants of Ministry of Tourism, some tenants of the Port Department, and some, I guess, licensees of the police, Commissioner of Police. And so they were, had been operating within the secure area of Prince George Wharf. As part of the arrangement and agreement with the government of the Bahamas, what we're doing is building new retail spaces for each of the tenants that it had, you know, legitimate leases with the government, so that they then will be moving into this space. So again, approximately 45 or 50 tenants that had existing leases with the government will be given the opportunity to take up those leases in this new Nassau container, cruise port area. Apart from that, we have six additional retail spaces which are larger. And in that particular case, we were looking at Bahamian businesses producing Bahamian products that had established capacity and distribution. And so they have been selected. We did, as you mentioned very quickly there, we did an RFP, RFQ process and had gone through reviews of the submissions. I think we had close to 40 different submissions for these new retail concepts. And we went it and we, you know, basically got down to the six successful applicants, which have been identified, and Amanda can list them. And then in addition to that, we have the F&B spaces, which again are around the same size. And in that particular case, I would say that we struggled a bit in that process because a number of the submissions were, you know, and I don't mean any disrespect by this, but they were the typical Bahamian restaurant. There wasn't a unique perspective or a unique look at the preparation of the particular dishes. And so what we did was we, as part of the process, is we had been working with University of the Bahamas, their culinary department, along with Simeon Hall Jr. And what we've been able to do is, look at those applicants, those F&B applicants. And we did identify those, a couple of them that were taking a very innovative, creative look to Bahamian cuisine. And then again, looking at the University of the Bahamas in partnership with them, along with Simeon Hall Jr., because we really want to elevate the take on Bahamian cuisine to where it's different. It's unique. We're not trying to duplicate what the fish fry does. The fish fry is very successful. The fish fry has its own brand, a very successful brand. when people go to the fish fry, they know exactly what they're going to get, and that's what they came to get. In our particular space, we're looking for a different take on Bahamian cuisine. Just like we're trying to offer product that is authentically Bahamian, that isn't going to be found in a luxury goods store or a franchise, we're looking for the same kind of take on Bahamian cuisine. And so that's what we've done within our commercial space. And then supported by that, this whole focus on Bahamian entertainment, because it's not enough to have authentically Bahamian product and authentically a new take on Bahamian cuisine. We're also looking to bring a lot of energy, positive energy to the space, but just with great entertainment, you know, so that people can enjoy themselves. They can sit down, they can have a great meal, they can listen to great music, and it's a family environment. But Amanda, maybe you could speak to some of that.
Yeah, sure. So we have a lot of excitement planned. Like I said before, everything that Nassau Cruise Port Limited has been looking at since inception is how to brand our destination, because we're building a destination. And so we want everything that people see, touch, taste, look at to be authentically Bahamian. And you're not going to find the luxury brands in our space. You won't find the franchises in our space.
Oh, wow.
We'll direct you 100 feet down the road to Bay Street, where you can find all of that. But we want there to be no mistaking when a passenger steps off the ship that they are in the Bahamas.
Wow.
So we're going to offer them things they can't get anywhere else except the Bahamas. So part of this trade fair is kind of bringing all of the islands together. It's a, you know, networking opportunity, like we would have said. We have the retail, the small retail spaces identified, which are authentically Bahamian. We have the former Festival Place vendors, which we inherited. And working all together as a community, we're going to showcase what the Bahamas is all about through our culture and the art and the food. And we're really excited because this is going to be open to everyone. So it's the visitors from Atlantis, the visitors that are at Bahamar. It's, you know, the friends and family that you have visiting you from the States or wherever. It's Bahamians that want to come down as a family you know, get something to eat and sit on the grass at the amphitheater and take in, you know, a great Bahamian band or some Reagan scrape. All of these things and more are planned for 2022. And this team is just so excited to be putting this all together because there's so much good things to talk about and so many very passionate things to showcase.
This is amazing. This is such great news. You're actually making me smile. I can't believe this because I think you all, if you know, if you cruise, you know that you see the same thing in almost every port. And this is so refreshing to hear that we're going to really do something all our own down there. This is great. Chester, I think you're saying something?
Yeah. I was wanted to find out, when do you think we'll hear about who were the successful food vendors and other vendors?
So I can tell you the retail vendors right now, the six successful applicants were My Ocean, Bahama Handprints, Vida Cayo, Eyes of Bahamian Bay, House of Assembly, and Grey Cliff.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. All right. Wonderful stuff. Wonderful stuff. I have to ask you this, though. East of East Street, it still looks like Zombie Town. Are you concerned about that at all? About this having any impact on you? What's your take on that?
I'm going to say it a little differently. If I was East of East Street, if I was a property owner East of East Street, I would be concerned. And the reason I say that is because we are investing $300 million in this new waterfront development to include the marine expansion. And we are, you know, we don't have any fences. Okay. So as these passengers come off, it's up to them to decide where they're going to go. And they're not limited to our footprint. They are free to roam. And if all the activity and all the energy is west of East Street, that's where they're going to go. So, you know, I think it's time, and it honestly should have happened 10 years ago. But it's time for, you know, those operators that are east of East Street that have not done something with their properties, in my humble opinion, to take a good look at it, because they, you know, there's a national interest in that real estate. There's a national opportunity of employment in that real estate. There's a national opportunity in VAT tax collection in that real estate. So, you know, it's time that you know, something happened with that area of downtown.
Yeah, Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. All right, let's squeeze this call in really quickly, and then we'll get back to Angelo to have the final word on what potential investors need to do. Good morning, caller. You are on the air.
A very pleasant good morning, one and all. How are you all doing this morning?
Doing well.
When I heard about this authentic Bahamian craft show and et cetera, I just felt like I wanted to just let my hair down or just take my weave off if I was wearing one and come out and enjoy the Bahamas. I thought things was opening up. Now, if you're fully vaccinated, do you need to actually, have a COVID test, done in order to participate if you put on like two or three masks?
Amanda, I believe the answer
is... I can answer that for you, no problem. So the COVID guidelines that we have for the trade fair, which was given approval by the Ministry of Health and Wellness, is that if you are fully vaccinated, you will come and show your proof of being fully vaccinated along with a photo ID. If you are not fully vaccinated, then you will need to provide proof of a negative antigen test result taken within 72 hours of our event, along with your photo ID. Masks will be required and hand sanitizer will be placed throughout, along with hand sanitizer being placed on every single vendor's booth, which is actually courtesy of another authentic Bahamian brand, Abaconim and Carib Botanicals. So authentically Bahamian in everything that we're doing. And, we're encouraging people to come out, bring your ID, bring your proof of vaccination or your negative antigen test, take within 72 hours, and entrance and parking are free. So we hope to see you guys there. We've removed every barrier possible, and we think it's going to be a wonderful time.
Great stuff. So, Angelo Butler, you get the final word on what people need to be doing if they are interested in investing in this wonderful project.
So, yes, the main thing, and we've been telling 99% of the individuals that have called us, go to the website, take some time, browse to the website. You can learn about the directors, about the fund. The offering documents are there. You can read through those, but specifically focus on the frequently asked questions and the subscription instructions. They give you a step-by-step guide on how to go about submitting your application. We tried to make it as seamless as possible. You can do everything from home, the convenience of your home. You don't have to drive here to us. But only, after that, if you still have any questions or concerns, you can reach us at 502-7010 or at BIF@cfile.com.
Mm-hmm. And that website, everybody keeps asking, folks, write this down or record something. Write it down. Give us that website one more time.
www.bahamasinvestmentfund.net.
Okay. Wonderful. Thank you all so much. Angelo Butler with CFAL, Mike Moore Jr., and Amanda Friedman with the Nassau Cruise Port. Good luck to you all, and good luck to everybody who's going to be investing in this. And thank you so much for sharing this information with us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Chester Robarts, thank you for being here for this part of the show. Appreciate it.
A pleasure.
All right, and that's it for us today. I'll be back on Monday with more Morning Blend and Morning Blend Business right here on Guardian Radio 96.9. Dwight Strawn, have a great day. Stay tuned for On the Clock with Aaron Green coming up next.